From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, as the case may be, across all these many, many time zones, from the Hawaiian and Tahitian island chains, all the way eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south, well into South America, as I just verified, north, all the way to the poles, worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning. I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. And this is the program that does what others don't do. And that's almost anything else but O.J. Simpson tonight. I don't want to talk about O.J. Simpson, and so I'll just sort of lay that out for you up front. $33.5 million. He'll never end up paying it. Simpson has said this is far from over, and that sounds like a threat to the American public. It's over as far as I'm concerned. I've got something else that I'm interested in. As you know, I'm just now back from vacation. It was a good one. I was in Mazatlan in Mexico, and there was going on there, as there is in New Orleans, their version of Carnival. And boy, I'll tell you what, those people throw some kind of party during Carnival in Mexico and throughout South America, as New Orleans does with Mardi Gras, South America does with what they call Carnival, and we had a blast. A lot of fun. So it's good to be back. Here I am. My mom is on the way to the airport right now, flying back to Long Island, and that was a very enjoyable visit. And so here we are, back on the air again, back in the saddle again. All right. Here's what's coming up first. You know, we're going to have some open lines tonight. But there are a couple of things. I received the following facts. I'll read it to you, and that's how this began, because you can imagine why I would be curious about this. It comes from somebody who signs himself a fellow seeker of truth only. In other words, anonymous. Dear Art Bell, I just heard a story that you and we, your listeners, might possibly be interested in. Several days ago in Jasper, Arkansas, elementary school children began dropping like flies near their gym with symptoms like radiation poisoning. Coaches and paramedics were also affected, and those who later tended to the children away from the gym were also affected immediately. In total, 46 people have been seriously affected. Some early news of this was reported in the Harrison, Arkansas paper, but now there's suppression of news getting out of the area. The area is sealed off, and the Atlanta CDC is there. This information came, ostensibly, from an MD in Jasper in a call to Joyce Murphy of Beyond Boundaries. The MD was fearful, said he thought his phone was bugged, says most there are fearful of repercussions if they try to get the word of any of this to the outside. Art, to get as close to the source as possible, I suggest you call Joyce Murphy at Beyond Boundaries down in Texas. And so I did exactly that. She is 70 miles from Dallas, Texas. And so coming up in a moment, we will talk to Joyce. And by the way, Beyond Boundaries is a quarterly, I guess it's quarterly, yeah, quarterly. Oh, well, January, February, maybe more than that. Beyond Boundaries is a newsletter, a pretty big newsletter, as a matter of fact, and it covers a lot more than what we're going to talk about this evening. Maybe we will touch on some of what else they do. They're all involved in UFOs and all the rest of it. But I really, really want to find what in the world is going on in Arkansas. Now, bear in mind, the facts that I've got here is anonymous. This medical doctor claims to be fearful. I have no way of knowing about the validity of this. We will find out more in a moment. All right, now we're going to Texas, down not far from Dallas, Texas. And we're going to speak to Joyce Murphy, who is involved with the Beyond Boundaries newsletter. Joyce, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Art. I'm glad to be here.
What do you do for Beyond Boundaries? Do you own it?
I'm president of Beyond Boundaries.
That'll do.
Yeah, I'm sort of in charge of research.
CEO, huh?
I suppose so.
What is Beyond Boundaries, as a matter of interest? What kind of stories do you cover?
Okay, we actually just cover current UFO phenomena all over the world, and we don't do very much in the United States, but we travel to places that are having current UFO flaps and phenomena, and we go right directly to the grassroots level, the people who are actually experiencing this phenomena, the contactees, the experiencers, and we take small groups of people with us who are interested.
Oh, you have safaris?
Expeditions.
Expeditions.
Yeah, not quite safaris, I don't think.
Well, I guess, yeah, you never end up bagging one, but...
well, we try.
they have safaris, you know, where all they do is photograph big game.
Yeah, photo safaris. Well, that's what we do. We photograph UFOs.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah.
So, similar in that way. All right, you heard me read the facts. Now, what the hell is going on in Arkansas?
Well, as of today, I don't think anybody still, you know, has the answer, but last week, probably about the end of the week, this guy called me, and I'm not sure that he was an MD in Jasper, but somewhere in that area, because mm-hmm. I hope there's more than one MD, since he wants to, you know, be anonymous in Jasper.
Sure.
But anyway, he called, and he said that, asked me if I knew what was happening in that area. He knew that we were involved in UFO research, and somehow he thought this might involve a UFO. And, of course, I didn't know anything, but he said that sometime about a week before he called, a number of elementary school children just collapsed on the gym floor, and he said it was inside the school. Later I heard that it might have been outside. But
collapsed, you mean passed out?
Just, yes, or became out of control, or they couldn't stand any longer. I'm not sure they lost consciousness, but I think the symptoms involved breathing difficulties, maybe.
Breathing.
Yeah, and maybe some other things later, like they broke out in a horrible red rash, and they had dry, scaly skin, and all kinds of little things like that. But
now, how many children do you know? How many were involved?
I don't know at that time. I'm going to guess probably 30, maybe, because later the highest number I've heard so far has been about 57 total people involved in this.
So it's going up.
Yeah, it's going up. It seems to be something that might have been, you know, like in the air at the time in Gotham, but later people that treated the children came down with the symptoms immediately. The hospital laundry that went out to a contractor 2 days later, the people in the laundry became sick.
Really?
So it had to be on their skin and on their clothes and also maybe in the air when it got them.
Wow.
Yeah, this is pretty scary, and the people are just really perplexed about it because there are no answers yet. And
All right. Wait, let's backtrack a little bit. Has there, what reports have there been of this? There was some sort of newspaper report?
Yeah, I think there was probably more than one newspaper. There were several. Every day there's been an article in, I believe, the Harrison newspaper. And then I talked to a leading researcher, UFO researcher in Springfield, which is about 70 miles away, Springfield, Missouri. And she said that it had been in the Springfield paper. But as far as anybody knew, it has never made any national news. And the people just can't believe that, you know, it's a huge problem and a huge situation to them, a serious situation. They can't believe that. They think they're being neglected by national.
Well, it is a huge situation. It says the area is sealed off and the Atlanta CDC is there. Is that so?
That's what I was told. And also a lot of military personnel. There's a lot of military pipes in the air. Yeah.
Military.
And this is like an echo strip. They have done these biospheres, or they've planned them. It's like a... Back in the Ozarks, and there's a whole strip of ecologically dedicated land that's all around that you can you know, all kinds of things could happen back in there. Nobody would know anything about it. It's a lot of wilderness. And so I don't know what that has to do with it. There's a lot of military traffic in the air, especially over this land.
Are there any observed military on the ground?
Yes, uh-huh. That was my understanding that now I'm only getting this from one person in the area and then another one in Springfield who verifies most of these facts.
How far did the newspaper reports go in reporting the details that we've got here?
This was all in the paper that I have, and they said that the possible causes were anything from a UFO to some strange disease. They ranged from a UFO to a strange disease. So from that, I assume that someone must have seen a UFO.
Okay, well, we will get to that.
Yeah.
Is there a follow-up? Are these children now better?
They're not. No one has died from it, and I don't know whether anybody is still in the hospital. Some, I understand, were hospitalized. And
so whatever it was, it took them to the ground.
Yeah, it took them to the ground.
And then the follow-up to it was there were breathing difficulties, then red rashes.
I think the rash actually, you know, came, you know, a few hours later.
A few hours later.
Yeah, and then the scaly skin, and I asked the first thing I thought about, well, radiation.
A burn.
Hair loss, you know, but I haven't heard of hair loss.
Either radiation or a burn.
Yeah, and some people, you know, everybody mentions Agent Orange, but I don't know what that, I don't really know the symptoms of that. I'm not a medical person myself at all.
It seems beyond reason to me that all of this, with the exception, you know, of the local media there, could be kept quiet.
Yeah, that's really amazing, but I don't know. I haven't seen anything in the news. Have you or heard anything?
Nary a word.
And not on the Internet. That's amazing.
Except for this fax. Now,
yeah.
Something big is going on here, and they've still got the whole area sealed off. What have they done? Have they sealed off the entire school?
They closed the school, but
they
reopened. And most of the, a lot of the parents, I don't know what percentage, but they did not send their kids back to school because there were no answers. And they, some of them just took their kids out of school and said they would homeschool them.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I would too. And so the paramedics got sick. The people who then even came in contact with their clothing got sick.
Who came in contact with the children, who treated the children, they got sick. And they had so many, they had to, you know, take them to different places. Don't know that area, but I imagine one hospital would be about right, you know, for the size town I think it is. And so when they got all of the emergency cases they could handle, well, then they started going to the emergency medical centers and places like that, you know, nearby ones. And
Joyce, this, you know, this doesn't make sense in the sense that this should have been in the national media. Absolutely. Anytime school children in mass are affected like
right.
this. That's a big story, and I don't know how they could keep that quiet.
Well, I don't either, because it would be at least a human interest story.
At the very least.
Yeah, leave the UFO out of it. It would still be interesting.
All right, what about the UFO? Now, where and how does that enter the picture?
Well, that's what I would like to know, and I've been very busy trying to get an expedition off, and I haven't had time to really check this out, but it was mentioned in the paper, and...
It was mentioned.
It was mentioned.
In what way?
As a range, you know, like a...
well, that must mean there was a sighting.
Yeah, so there must... It implied that someone had seen a UFO because it says that the causes, possible causes ranged from a UFO to a mysterious illness.
God, this is fascinating. I'm trying to figure out... Well, I'll tell you one way we can follow up. Let me open a line east of the Rockies, I believe, for Arkansas, for anybody who knows anything about this right now, okay? That's 1-800-825-5033. If you're in Arkansas or you know about this story and can help us, this is just too bizarre, something that would affect that many people. That would imply... that it wasn't just in the air, but that it was latent on the clothing, or that it was a virus, and I suppose we don't have the first idea whether it was bacteriological, a virus, or something altogether. We just don't know. Is that right?
Well, that's right. It would have to be a very strange, fast-acting one for everybody to collapse at the same moment.
How much confidence do you have that this story is real?
Well, I have met the person who actually called me one time, and you know, he seemed very credible, and then I did back it up by calling, you know, a very trusted researcher, Susan Bedell, and she said, yes, it had been in all of the local papers, and that, and she told me the very same story that he had told me, so this has all been in the paper. So I would assume that, you know, it's true.
You know, this is the kind of thing the Associated Press or Reuters or one of them would absolutely jump on, and I maintain a close relationship with the news services, and I haven't seen one word, not one word, and that just seems totally beyond reason. Let's quickly see if we can find somebody in that area. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joyce Murphy and Art Bell. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
I live in Little Rock, and I heard on the ABC affiliate here in Little Rock about the sickness up there in Jasper.
Really?
And it sounded like spring fever to me.
Spring fever?
One kid comes down with a headache. He goes home. Everybody else says, I have a headache, too.
Okay, I hear that. I know what you're talking about.
It was unbelievably warm.
But
it
how
was
would,
a nice Friday afternoon.
Yeah, but how, sir, would that affect the workers, the emergency people who come, and then the people who even come in contact with the clothing of the children?
I never heard anything about that. Okay. All I heard was all these kids up there in the school coming down sick, and I got to go home. And I didn't hear anything else about emergency personnel coming down sick or anything else or anybody checking into the hospital that the...
All right, let's
do... State Health Department went up there, and they were doing some checking on the playground and the schools and all that stuff to see if they could come up with anything, and that's a pretty remote, desolate area from any military facilities. It's a national park area, national river. There's canoeists and hikers and people up there all the time, and nobody else has ever complained of any sickness besides those school kids. I just think that one kid went home and everybody else wanted to also.
Well, spring fever. Interesting idea. Joyce, how would you react to that? He says just spring fever.
Well, that can happen. I've been a teacher. I know they can pull that trick. But if this is been in the paper about all these other people getting sick, well, then I would begin to think, well, maybe there's something to this.
All right. Well, let's see what we can find out. Opening lines to that area. Joyce, stand by. We'll be right back to you. I'm Art Bell. This is CBC.
Call Art Bell toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-8255, east of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033, 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC, Radio Network.
Something strange is going on in Jasper, Arkansas. Spring fever? Well, suggested by one caller. But I don't think so. Now, I've got an Associated Press story here, and I will give you the essence of it. And we've got a caller from Jasper, Arkansas on the line coming up. And by the way, folks, Joyce Murphy of Beyond Boundaries newsletter has a website up. And yes, of course, Quick Draw Keith has already got it up there. So if you want to go up to my website and go see what Beyond Boundaries is all about, and it's about UFOs, fascinating site. It's there for the Lincoln right now. All you've got to do is go up there, and you'll see it right at the top of my website. My website is www.artbell.com. That's www.artbell, all together, artbell.com. All right. Now, back to Joyce Murphy of Beyond Boundaries. Joyce, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. I think that I've got somebody from Jasper, Arkansas. That's the value of talk radio that is nationwide. Hi there. Are you in Jasper?
Yes.
Well, I'll be doggone. I would have gone a long time before I figured we could get a call from Jasper, but there you are. What is your first name?
Patty.
Patty?
Uh-huh.
What's going on in Jasper, Patty?
Oh, gosh.
Is it spring fever?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Kids are sick. My kid's still not in school.
Really?
Yes.
All right, of the original incident, Patty, did the description that Joyce gave and I gave sound about right?
Close. What happened was it wasn't just a headache. Kids came running from the playground to the gym, which is open during recess time. And there was like five kids that were laying on the floor holding their heads, saying their heads hurt, and it felt like the brains were coming out. It was a very intense headache.
Holy mackerel.
And then by the time the principal had called for medical assistance, by the time he came back, there was five or six more kids down. They started taking them from the school to the local clinic here.
Right.
And the clinic got so full that they were putting them on buses and taking them over, and then they started transporting them to the emergency room in Harrison. There was 45 kids total. Started with the headache, then they broke out in a rash, and then breathing difficulties. Seven of them were hospitalized in ICU. Two paramedics went down.
Two paramedics went down?
From dealing with the kids. An emergency room personnel got symptoms. One paramedic was in ICU, and one was released.
Huh. How many children do you have?
I just have one.
One. Was your child affected?
No.
And you made a decision then to keep your child out of school?
Well, the school had been closed down for, I believe, like 4 days when they were doing all the tests, and they called a meeting at the school, and of course we went, and they didn't have any answers for anyone. They didn't know what happened or what caused it. All they said was they assured us that it was gone, but they didn't know what it was.
Who assured you it was gone? Who was at the meeting? What officialdom showed up to explain all that?
Dr. Nichols from Little Rock.
Uh-huh.
She's the head of the health department there.
Yes.
She pretty much ran the investigation, and the superintendent of schools and several other people were there. And they said they'd went over the entire playground and the school, and they couldn't find anything.
All right, I guess the thinking is that this occurred, whatever it occurred, or whatever it was, occurred on the playground or near it?
On the playground. They pretty much isolated the spot, I guess, where it happened. But they don't know what happened. There's an unknown compound found in urine and blood samples of the children.
Oh, really?
But they don't know what to test for.
An unknown compound. That's mysterious.
But they don't know what it is.
They don't know what it is. What about the presence of any military in the area?
There were rumors that a low-flying plane had went over. There were rumors that maybe some sort of truck drove by. There's been lots of speculation, but nobody knows for sure.
Are there still any areas in Jasper sealed off?
No, not at this time. There's still meetings happening. There was a meeting Tuesday night. There was a meeting in Harrison at the high school there. Some sort of parents advocacy group, I guess, is getting together.
Worried, concerned.
Very, yes.
Were there any? Apparently, there was some mention of in the range of possibilities a UFO. Has there been a UFO sighting in that area or anything of that sort, other than light planes, that kind of thing?
I'm not real sure. It's real hard out here. You know, a lot of us aren't right in town. The town's really, really tiny.
How big is Jasper?
Jasper itself, I think there's 300 people
300
right in the town
people.
Of Jasper, and then there's lots of little surrounding areas. But, you're out on dirt roads.
Where are you in the state of Arkansas, roughly, compared to a place we would know? Little Rock, for example, or...
North of Little Rock. We're 30 miles from Harrison, which is right almost on the border of Missouri.
Okay. Well, I really can't tell you how much I appreciate your calling. Is there anything else you want to add at all since you are there?
We're 90 miles north of Little Rock.
All right.
Just that it's real strange. It came... And, you know, people are scared. They don't know if it's going to happen again. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody has any answers for any of it.
Well, once they found a, quote, unknown compound, you would think the CDC, have they been there? Do you know?
They haven't said.
They haven't said. Yeah,
no,
they might not say.
They're not really telling us a whole lot.
Is that, what's that creating in the area? I would be kind of angry. I would want to know.
Most people, the general idea is that it was some sort of chemical agent, and that a lot of people feel that they know what happened, or that they have some real good idea, and
they're not
telling us.
And they're not telling. So, in other words, people in the area think the officials know what it is, and they're keeping their mouths shut.
Right. That's the general feeling here.
Well, on behalf of Joyce Murphy and myself, I really want to thank you for calling in.
Sure.
You take care. There you have it. Jasper, Arkansas, Joyce.
That's really scary, isn't it?
Not spring fever.
Ooh. I wonder why the guy 90 miles away in Little Rock would, you know, how would he know what it was other than just reading the paper?
Well, obviously, he didn't.
Yeah.
Is the answer.
Well, there's little things like that. I've raised kids.
Yeah.
And I've taught school, but I don't think so. That headache would have really scared me.
There could be some sort of group psychological thing, but now that they have found a unknown compound in their blood and urine samples, obviously it was real. Something really occurred there. And I hate to even suggest this, Joyce. I don't know if you're familiar, whether you listen to the show or not, but there's...
Occasionally, Art. we don't get it very easily here. I have to go to real audio.
I see. There's a U.S. Title Code 50 that allows the U.S. government something like 30 days notification to experiment chemically or biologically on American citizens. And I'm not saying that's what this was, because I have no way of knowing. It's just a wild guess. And then there's, of course, the question of the UFO as well.
Yeah. There's one more suggestion, too, that I've had since I've sort of been discussing this. Back in the 50s or 40s or somewhere way back there, and the school, I think, was pretty old, maybe built in the 50s, according to my source.
Yes.
They had some problems with landfill. They had some waste disposals that were not quite legal. And a lot of schools, I understand, ended up being built on these sites that where waste was buried illegally. But that day was totally dry. There was no rain, and I don't think there had been any for quite a while. So nothing was oozing up out of the ground or, you know, anything like that. But that was just another theory that someone had.
Really, really bizarre stuff. All right. Here's an Associated Press report. Let me read you part of this. An elementary school in Jasper, it says, I'm not sure of the date of this, will stay closed for at least one more day while officials scurry to try to find out what happened to 45 of its students who got sick. After spending a noon recess on the school's playground on Friday, the fifth and sixth graders developed fatigue, a rash, nausea, headaches, and had difficulty in breathing. That's quite a set of symptoms. Seven students were admitted to a Harrison hospital for observation. Three emergency workers who came in contact with the students were treated. One of them was hospitalized. The school closed that afternoon. And that is the Associated Press, Joyce. So, obviously, not spring fever. Obviously, something really did occur there. Maybe it'll remain a mystery. I guess I would ask you, Joyce, you're dealing with UFOs and I'm sure delving into the government cover-up business and all the rest of it. If the authorities knew what this was, and frankly, I'm with the caller from Jasper, I think they know too, but if they knew, would they tell us?
No. Why should they? It's easier to cut, just not say anything.
So it's over. It's gone. Forget about it.
Yeah. And I think our government is the best government in the world, and I love my passport and I love my country, but no, they would keep it quiet for 40 years.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, at least 40 years. And then some future a cabinet member of some future president's administration would come forward and admit it when it didn't matter anymore.
Right, when these kids are grandparents, maybe.
Some future Hazel O'Leary. Joyce, I was just in Mexico. I didn't see any UFOs.
I know.
But there's a lot of activity in Mexico, tremendous amount. I'm getting all kinds of calls about crazy things going on in Mexico and Central and South America, and I know that you're going down there shortly.
Yeah.
What is going on down there?
Well, in Mexico, you know, it's really been pretty much ongoing ever since the solar eclipse in 1991.
Yes.
And there's just a lot of activity. The plasma craft, for example, comes back to Tepos line every time the Pleiades, you know, the star system of Pleiades lines up in a certain way with the Earth. And we were there in October with a group and also with a TV show, and we were fortunate enough to actually film, not the plasma craft, but we got a dog bone-shaped or cylinder-shaped craft that we filmed actually by the volcano from a very far distance away.
And where exactly?
At Metepec Atlixco.
Where is that?
That is in the state of Puebla, and it's right next to we were standing right at the foot of the volcano, Mount Popocatépetl.
Yes.
And the volcano was burping and belching and smoking, and it had a yellow alert, but we went, we were not in danger, but anyway, it may go off at any time, and some of the people down there believe that the UFOs are actually stopping that volcano from erupting.
Really?
And there's so much activity, in fact,
they're not tossing virgins in.
Well, I think they may still have a few down there, but I don't think they're tossing them in.
All right.
But anyway, one of the abductees, in fact, I guess she's about 16 or 17 years old. She's a contactee. They're not abductees down there. They're very fortunate contactees because they consider these beings, you know, kind of angelic. They're not anything bad or to be dreaded. But she told us that her friends were going to come by and say hello at about 9:30 that evening.
Yes.
And now picture this, how could we be any more fortunate? I mean, here I am with a TV crew, cameras set up, the beta cams rolling. I have an expedition group of probably about 10 or 12 people besides the TV producer. And at 9:30, Here comes a big golden glow, a yellow light, just right along the edge of the hill, very slowly. It's huge, and it comes across just very slowly, too slow to be an aircraft. It goes out over the valley, it stops, and then it turns, and it comes right toward us. There it is, 9:30.
And you're getting all of this on film?
We got it on film. We certainly did. And then you just can imagine the excitement. After we sort of got over it, the cameraman had a cellular phone, so we just about killed him over his phone, and we called everybody we could think of in the United States.
Well, you have since seen the video. How definitive is the video?
Well, it shows the lights. Jim De La Tosa actually analyzed it and said that it was a very large something, barbell shape or dog bone shape, very far out in space. It was much further away than we thought. And it shows the light splitting and separating and then coming back together. You can't really see the definitive shape. We had some very good night vision equipment, but even the person who ran off with the night vision equipment at the time had her own private sighting so that she really couldn't see the definitive shape, you know, as being a barbell. So that was sort of a surprise. But it was dark, and, you know, at night, when you see lights, you really can't tell a lot of times, you know, what shape you have. But we knew it was definitely not an aircraft.
Well, what do you think the relationship to the UFO sightings on such an almost scheduled basis and the volcano is? What do you think?
Well, there are people down there who have actual photos and videos of these saucers going down into the volcano. Into the volcano. And now, they may be full of virgins, I don't know, but they're going into the volcano, and the people actually feel that they're there to help them. So possibly they are. The thing is almost erupted many times, and it's it hasn't quite done it yet.
No, so. I get the warnings, you know, and it comes right up to the edge where they're ready to say it's going to blow.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't.
Yeah, December the 29th, I think it threw out some giant red-hot boulders, you know, bright red, and they really thought it was going that time, but didn't quite make it. But we're going to be there next week. We're going down actually Saturday, and we have a group of Australians coming in.
You're going where? To Costa Rica?
We're going down to Mexico first.
Mexico?
And we're going to do the go down to Teposlan and check on the plasma craft, and then back around to the state of Puebla near the volcano, and we'll, you know, check on the activity there, and we'll do some investigating a couple of days in Mexico City and meet with people who are having current experiences, you know, very current, like last week, yesterday, and tomorrow.
Let me tell you what I hear. I hear that UFO sightings in Mexico City and around it are so frequent that the people are blasé about it. They just, like an everyday occurrence at this point. There's so much of it going on. Is that true?
That's true. Everybody everywhere has seen something at some time. And they have, as you've probably heard, the group of vigilantes, this group of young people, and they usually meet with us, and they always have new videos, and they keep a camera with them all the time because they have so many sightings, and it's their hobby, their job, to film, to record everything they see. And there's one man down there that we're going to see this time that actually has 1,500 captures of something, either on videotape or just a still camera.
I've seen quite a bit of video of the things flying about near Mexico City, and it is fairly definitive, you know. It's very clear. As a matter of fact, I've heard that aircraft going in and out of the international airport there have had near collisions with these objects.
Almost daily.
Almost daily?
Yeah, we're going to talk with some air traffic controllers also who, it's not, you know, anything that's a shame or anything to report this. I mean, they report it freely, so it's not anything that they're, you know, doing against their job or anything, but they see them almost daily over the airport, and that's a very busy airport. So I'm sure there are a lot of near collisions.
Then why isn't there more news about all of that? I mean, we're having near collisions with F-16s off the East Coast and elsewhere, and that's all over the news. But you have near collisions with UFOs in Mexico, and in America, you don't even hear a word about it unless you listen to this program. Listen, Hang on, Joyce. We'll do some more. It's top of the hour, and my guest is Joyce Murphy from Beyond Boundaries. We've got a link to her website at www.artbell.com. Go take a look.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CDC Radio Network.
Taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Top of the morning, everybody. We are tracking a very strange story, naturally. I'm just back from vacation. I've got Joyce Murphy from Beyond Boundaries newsletter on the line with me, and I'll tell you why in a moment. There's something very, very strange going on in Arkansas, and we'll talk a bit more about that. I have a Title 50, War and National Defense, Chapter 32, Chemical and Biological Warfare Program with me. That's 1520, and I'll read part of that in a moment. I wonder if that's what might have occurred in Jasper, Arkansas. Anyway, it certainly was not just spring fever. So we'll get back to Joyce Murphy, and we're talking about that much more, but I want to update those who joined at this hour on this story. It's really, really bizarre. Well, all right. For those of you who just joined us, something very strange is going on in Arkansas, a place called Jasper, Arkansas, and I received the following. Art, several days ago in Jasper, elementary school children began dropping like flies near their gym with symptoms like radiation poisoning. Coaches and paramedics were also affected. Those who later tended to the children away from the gym were also affected immediately. All told now, over 50 have been seriously affected. Some early news of this reported in the Harrison, Arkansas paper, but now there is a suppression of news getting out of the area. The area is sealed off. The Atlanta CDC is there. Well, we cannot confirm the CDC. This information came from an MD in or near Jasper in a call to Joyce Murphy of Beyond Boundaries. The MD was fearful, said his phone was bugged, said that there are that he was fearful of some sort of repercussion if they try to get word of this to the outside. Now, I contacted Joyce Murphy right away. She confirmed, as best she could, the details you just heard. We just talked to somebody in Jasper who also confirmed the essential details of this story. Have you heard about it before? Yes, there was one Associated Press story. I've got it here, but no follow-up. The other interesting aspect, this apparently affected the children while they were in the, on the playground. And the effects of it were then felt, some very serious effects, as a matter of fact, when they got back inside the school. and they began dropping. Now, something very serious occurred in Jasper. They don't know what. According to the caller from Jasper, there has been some sort of compound, was the word she used, detected in their urine and blood. That's all we know. Let me read you U.S. Code 50, a portion of it, 1520. Use of human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents by the Department of Defense, accounting to congressional committees with respect to experiments and studies, notification of local civilian officials. Here we go. Listen to this. A. Not later than 30 days after final approval within the Department of Defense of plans for any experiment or study to be conducted by the Department of Defense, whether directly or under contract, involving the use of human subjects for the testing of chemical or biological agents. The Secretary of Defense shall supply the Committees on the Armed Services of the Senate and House of Representatives with a full accounting of such plans for such experiment or study, and such experiment or study may then be conducted only after the expiration of the 30-day period beginning on the date such accounting is received by such committees. Well, your eyes could glaze over listening to that, I'm sure. But what it boils down to is they can experiment on American civilians with chemical or biological stuff as long as they notify some unspecified local civilian officials and give them 30 days notice. Now, I'm not saying that's what occurred in Jasper. I'm just reminding you that this U.S. code is real. Copies in my hand. We had a link so that you could see it to one of the major university law libraries. I think it was Cornell. And that was up on the website as well. So there you've got it. That catches you up, I believe. Here once again is Joyce Murphy. Joyce?
Yes.
We've got some people here who would like to comment again on this Jasper story. Do you believe that U.S. Title 50 business? Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's just terrible. I don't want to hear that. I'm going to take my grandchildren and go somewhere.
I know.
In a hole, I think.
In a hole. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Joyce Murphy. Hi.
Yes. Hello. Bob from Houston.
Hi, Bob.
I wish to interject something in the conversation here.
Fire away.
I recall in my past readings that the town of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, I believe there is an army base there. I know this town has a history of military history of storage and or possible manufacture of biological and or chemical weapons. Maybe you should get a caller from Pine Bluff and to confirm if this military base is still in operation.
All right.
My suggestion.
We can certainly try and do that, and it's as good a bit of speculation as anybody else's, so I thank you.
You are welcome, sir, and welcome back, Art.
Thank you. It's good to be back. So there you have it, Jasper, Arkansas, something very strange going on. And if you would, Joyce, for the people who just joined us, again, beginning some days ago, the children came in from the playground, collapsed literally on the gym floor, complaining of symptoms of what?
A really bad headache that led to a rash. I'm not sure what order, but I think the headache was first. And they were feeling very tired, I believe, was one of the symptoms, and lethargic, I think, and then had breathing difficulties later and broke out in a rash, a really bad rash.
A really bad rash. And some were taken to the hospital. The emergency workers who came in contact with them also got sick. And then those who came in contact with only their clothing got sick.
2 days later.
2 days, oh, 2 days later?
2 days later, the laundry contractor for, I don't know whether it was the Harrison, the hospital's obviously in Harrison, I believe, and there are only medical clinics in Jasper because it's a really small town. But it was 2 days later, and the laundry was done, and they became sick, or at least, you know, somebody did.
Something is definitely rotten in Arkansas. And the lady who called from Jasper said they've been having concerned adults meeting about this, and they've been not getting what they consider to be any sort of sufficient explanation of what this could have been at all. It is interesting to hear about the compound, the mysterious compound, whatever in the heck that was. I can tell you this, if I lived in Jasper, I don't think my son would be going to that school until I knew what the hell was going on. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Joyce Murphy. Hi.
Hello, Art. Hello, Joyce.
Hi.
Ken from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
There's a few things that jump into my mind right away. First thing I wanted to know was what day of the week was it? A Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday?
When it occurred. Do you know, Joyce?
No, I don't know the date. I got the call at the end of last week, and then he said it was possibly the week before. It had been, you know, 4 or 5 days, I think, before that. So definitely a Monday through a Friday, but I don't know which one.
Okay, well, the reason I was asking was, you know, was this the first time the playground facility had been used that day? You know, do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah,
like, could
I
they
don't
have,
know.
You know, kind of, the first, they come in on a Monday, and the first time they go out there on a Monday, they get sick. Or else they're already in school, it's the middle of the week, and they go out, they have their lunch break, having already been out there 2 or 3 times for PE, you know, and there would have been other indications of illnesses, like, you know, out there during their PE exercises, there would be certain breaking out of illnesses, that type of thing. There would be indications in that direction. So it's kind of, I'm kind of curious as to what happened, you know.
Well, we all are, sir. I thank you for the call. One thing that, one thing I think we could follow up on, I'm not sure they would tell us, but if there was an actual mysterious compound found in their urine and blood, then obviously at some point I would think the CDC would absolutely be involved. And if not, until they identified what this was, I would be very shocked. And if they're not involved, I guess I would want to ask, why not? East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joyce Murphy and Art Bell. Hello.
Hi, I'm calling from Jasper.
Another call from Jasper?
Yep, I'm the second person.
All right, wait, turn your radio off, please.
Okay.
All right, that's number one. Then we can have a good conversation here.
Yeah.
All right, I guess he's going, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, good. What is your first name?
My first name is Alan.
Alan. All right, Alan, what can you tell us?
Well, I think the other caller pretty much covered everything with regards to what the local officials are telling people. But I wanted to refute some of the things that were being said with regards to a military presence here.
All right, well, now, she said that there had been, all she said was there had been rumors of military aircraft.
Well, the students reported seeing a jet fly over the school. That was said by several students.
A jet?
Right, but there have not been any military air, you know, there haven't been any ground troops or anything like that in the area. There hasn't been any military activity other than a jet.
All right, when did they see that jet with respect to when they began to get sick?
Prior to going back into the school, into the gym.
In other words, when they were out on the playground, which is when we believe whatever it was occurred.
Correct.
That's when they saw the jet.
Right.
And it flew right overhead?
Yes, you'd almost have to say overhead because Jasper surrounded by mountains. You know, I mean, you don't have a broad range of view on the, of the sky.
Uh-huh. Oh, my.
But, there, you know, there weren't any troops here. The other thing I want to talk about or mention is that this is a center of anti-government activity that stems from the takeover of property some 20, 30 years back.
Okay, I understand that. But that those anti-government people generally don't fly jets.
No, but it can result in many rumors being spread.
I've got you. In other words, with regard to the military.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Right. People saying, well, it was the government that did this.
Uh-huh.
And there definitely have not been any reports of any UFOs.
Art, I was told that there were helicopters that had come in.
There, no helicopters were reported. At least I haven't heard of any.
Joyce, had you heard the report of the jet?
No, I had not heard the jet, but I had heard that helicopters had come in.
Alan, do you have children in that school?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
If you did, what would be your inclination now?
I'd send them back to school. I wouldn't have a problem sending them back to school.
So you're pretty sure that whatever it was, it is no more?
Yes, I feel safe with that opinion.
All right, well, the lady who called, I'm sure you heard it,
right,
said that she was not satisfied with regard to what she was being told about what it was. Do you feel the same way?
Well, something happened, and, you know, it could have been something that the school did. You know, it could have been insecticide spraying, or it could have been something in the area locally that the local officials were responsible for. I'm like a lot of people, I don't trust the government. They like to cover themselves, and it could very well have been something of that nature.
Well, now, the lady said that they had identified some unknown compound, I think was the word she used, in their blood and urine.
Correct. Also, I'm being told on their clothing also.
On their clothing as well?
Right. And later on the linens in the hospital.
Well, if there was some sort of insecticide, fairly common in agricultural use, you would think they would have easily identified that.
Well, I would think almost any compound could be easily identified, which is why I'm skeptical that they don't know what it was. I mean, you know, we're pretty sophisticated these days.
Yes, sir. So something is very, something very strange occurred there, whatever it was.
Absolutely. When you have 35, 40 kids fall out, and then the medical people come in and they fall out, something is going on.
You bet. Alan, we really appreciate your call.
Okay.
Thank you. So there you are, Joyce. You know, the more I hear about this, the more it's tending to confirm
Yeah.
that something really, really weird occurred there in Jasper.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is the kind of story that you hear about almost as an urban legend unless you have the resources that I've got to pick off people in this little bitty town in Arkansas and get the truth, as we apparently now are getting. You're going to have other people who are going to call up from, like the guy from Little Rock, and they're going to say, it was just a bunch of kids screwing off.
Spring
fever, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Well, obviously something very, very serious occurred there.
Well, it's not even spring yet.
How do we follow up on this, do you think, Joyce? Somebody, somewhere, has got to be looking into what this so-called compound is in their blood.
Right. Somebody knows, too, what it is. So that's the, you know, I don't know whether knowing would help us any now, but I think the people involved certainly have, you know, their children. I mean, anything that involves their children, they have the right to know what it is, if anybody knows.
Have you ever heard, Joyce, of anything else like this? There was, of course, that lady in Southern California who died, whose body gave off very deadly fumes, put people in the hospital, emergency workers, doctors, that kind of thing. Have you heard of anything else like this incident in Arkansas?
Oh, not really. I've just heard, you know, like the aspartame scare where everybody turns into formaldehyde and stuff like that, but I've never heard of, you know, kids dropping like this unless it's something right there in the air that's gassed them or it's You know, and then being on their clothing, too, that's really strange. It's usually one or the other, I would think. And no virus or bacteria. I'm not a medical person, but I think I have enough sense to know that it doesn't make everybody sick at the same time because people's bodies react differently, you know.
That's exactly right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joyce Murphy and Art Bell. Hi.
Yeah, this is Billy from Laurie, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't know what date it was that we first started hearing reports out of Springfield about the kids, but on the morning of the 23rd of January,
yes, sir.
My brother and I were outside seeing if we could spot the space shuttle before it landed.
Yes.
And we saw what we thought was a meteor heading north to south, and it seemed to be heading in the direction of Arkansas. And this was like 2 days before the report on the ball that fell in Texas. And that same night...
All right, well, that's kind of a long shot, but look, I appreciate the report, sir, and Joyce, hold on. We'll be right back. We're going to discuss a little more about some of the UFO work that that Joyce does in conjunction with Beyond Boundaries. This is CBC.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
This is Art Bell, and you've never heard anything like it. We don't do your standard cookie-cutter talk radio. What we do here is different, sometimes even bizarre, strange, cutting-edge. Everybody seems to like it. The surveys are going great. Something you've never heard before, but it sure is fun.
CBC, Chancellor Broadcasting Company. For the strange and unusual, it's Greenland with Art Bell.
What do we discuss on Greenland? Two fascinating areas. Is there life after death, and are we alone in the universe? Two ultimate questions mankind's been trying to answer for thousands of years. We'll be talking about it this week, right here on Greenland.
West of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It absolutely is. Well, stranger and stranger, whatever happened in Jasper, Arkansas, it definitely occurred. A lot of people got sick for an unknown reason. You're not hearing about it anywhere else, so I thought we'd air it here and see what we could dig up. My guest is Joyce Murphy, and as long as I've got her on the line, we're going to ask her some other questions as we began to last hour, but this is a puzzle. All right, back now to Joyce Murphy of Beyond Boundaries newsletter. And Joyce, how frequently does this come out?
It comes out every other month, so it's actually six times a year, and the information is very fresh. We go out and cover these stories ourselves, and so we bring the news back and share it immediately as fast as we can.
And most of it relates to UFOs.
Yes, it's all UFO-related phenomenon. We don't research anything else, just UFO-related phenomenon.
Uh-huh. And you actually take field trips. You go to Mexico?
Oh, yes, we go really all over the world. We're going out Saturday to Mexico with a group of people who are coming from Australia, all the way from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some more people who are joining them. We usually take about 12 people, which is a nice size group. And then the group actually goes around and investigates and works with the people who are having contact and experiences with UFO, with crafts, with beings. We hear of a story. We work with researchers in each country that we go into, and they give us leads on stories and usually actually even go out with us. And these are incidences that have happened like in the past 6 months or less. You know, some of them like yesterday or last week.
All right. Well, you've got some remarkable video of a UFO sighted near a volcano in Mexico. How long ago was that?
This was in October of 96.
What have you done with that video?
What have we done with it? We're probably going to package it and sell it. Strange Universe actually had it on their TV show. They went with us, and they had the Mex Files. That was our expedition that was filmed, the Mex Files.
Huh. Do you have any idea, this is what I meant to ask, why Mexico?
Why Mexico?
Why?
Because, well, it's not quite as expensive to go to Mexico.
No, I don't mean from an expedition
yeah.
point of view. I mean, why so many...
Why so many UFOs?
Yeah.
Well, there is a theory, and this is kind of interesting, and we have one person who actually tells us about this when we go down there with an interpreter, but the ancient pyramids that are in Mexico...
Yes.
You know, they're all over the place. I don't
oh, yeah.
know really any here in the United States. So Mexico may be kind of unique, you know, in this respect. But they're actually joined, or they're sitting at intersections of ley lines, you know, the Earth energy grid.
Yes.
You know what ley lines are?
Well, I know about the energy grids or vortexes, whatever they're
yeah,
called.
Yeah, yeah. And where these ley lines cross, some of the ancient peoples of Mexico, you know, recognize this earth energy that we've kind of lost our ability to feel unless we learn to douse or do something like that. But they were more sensitive, and they felt this energy actually from the earth. And the pyramids were built on the intersections of these ley lines. And then later, the churches... came in, and I guess they liked the way it felt or something, but they built the churches on top of the pyramids. And then the UFOs seemed to draw maybe some of their propulsion energy or whatever from these ley lines. They follow these lines, actually. And the ancient sites have a lot to do with actually drawing UFO activity. And there are, I don't know how many quartz crystal areas there are in Mexico, but a lot of people believe that UFOs are coming in search of quartz crystal, and actually Arkansas area is very rich in quartz, and there are a lot of UFO sightings where we were talking about earlier. A lot of the people don't like to talk about it, I don't think, but there
even
are...
In Arkansas.
In Arkansas, and they're actually coming after the quartz crystal. So Mexico, maybe the ley lines and the ancient vortexes and the energy spots, you know, it could be something like that.
Well, Joyce, you know, in that area and throughout similar parts of the U.S., you're in the middle of the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
And a lot of Bible Belt people don't want to talk about those things. So, as far as they're concerned, UFOs equal the devil.
Yeah.
Or something satanic. And they just don't want to talk about those kinds of things, so they don't. Even if they see them, they don't talk about them.
Well, of course, the Bible mentions, you know, a lot of phenomena that's really, I think, UFO-related.
Wheels within wheels, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't think it says, you know, Ezekiel traveled in a UFO or something like that. I don't think it comes out and says that. But
no, and if it did, then there wouldn't be the problem in talking about
yeah.
it. I guarantee... UFO equals demonic something or another to a lot of people in this country, Joyce. And so if there is a lot of activity there, that's why you might not hear a lot about it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joyce Murphy.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Mark from Wichita, Kansas.
Hi, Mark.
Just wanted to make comment. I hope them kids aren't being affected by HAARP, for one. you know, I doubt it, but... As
well, I doubt it, too. I doubt that HAARP could be that specific geographically.
Yeah, No, but I just hope that they get well, you know.
Well, I do too, and as far as I understand, or I guess they are getting well. Now, we're having a hard time getting follow-up information so far. I don't know how we would do it. Somebody mentioned the CDC. Nobody has confirmed the CDC is there, but, you know, it occurred to me that if they're not, they should be. Seems to me they should be. At any rate, onward. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joyce Murphy and Art Bell. Hi.
Yeah, my name is Jose, and I was born in Mexico.
Yes, Jose.
So I know a little about these things. UFO. Since 1968, they are familiar to the Mexican population.
Yes.
That it's so easy to somebody say, so I saw a UFO. Oh, okay, good. We saw it 2 days ago, another one. In the north of Mexico, there is a place called Querétaro. And
This is where? North of Mexico City?
Yes, north of Mexico City. This is a rock, much like the one on the movie Close Encounters.
Yes.
Remember that rock? The tall rock that, this one like that in Mexico. And for many years, the locals, they say they have seen lights coming out at night and taking off and landing and everything else. I'm talking 20 years ago. So there is much activity in Mexico. And about religion, well, Mexico is a very religious place. You know, Catholics,
yes.
90% of it.
Catholic, yes.
Yeah, so, but there is you don't hear that satanic thing about UFOs because nobody knows what it's all about. So some new religions are saying that in the Bible that God created men with his likeness or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and they are not like us, so they are not good. That's what they say.
I understand what they say. Is that typical, that man, of the people that you talk to in Mexico?
Yes, and I love the Mexican people. They're so real. Why couldn't these be angels instead of demons?
Well, they could. I guess they could.
Why do we have to think bad that they're demons? Couldn't they just as easily be angels? They've been, in many cases, they come to heal people.
Well, it could be, and I've got to be honest with you, Joyce. We talked many times with many people, as a matter of fact, Whitley Strieber, who's going to be here tomorrow night, about whether these are good guys or bad guys. And most people hope that they're good guys. But I think it's about 50-50, Joyce.
Yeah, there's bad ones out there, I'm sure.
I'm unconvinced one way or the other. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Joyce Murphy and Art Bell. Hi. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Blair. I live in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
Have lived here all or most of my life. Was born and raised here. And I got a list of info for Art as it was. Ranging from Pine Bluff Arsenal that was brought up earlier to not exact sites, but the numeral sites. Rocket silos, a short story of that, an Army friend of mine that used to dump nuclear waste.
Oh, great.
Yeah, just a little tidbit to add to this arsenal of information.
Well, had you heard about this business in Jasper?
Yes, sir, I have. I've seen 3 newscasts about it.
3 newscasts about it, huh?
Yes, sir. 2 on Channel 7, which is ABC, and 1 on Channel 11, which is CBS.
Well, I would assume those are the local network
yes,
affiliates there in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. I appreciate the call and the information. I'm going to try and figure out how to follow up on this, and anybody out there with information on this, please contact me by email. Joyce, do you have email?
Yes, I do. My address is J Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, onramp.net. N-E-T.
All right. I presume also that they can send email at your website.
Yes, uh-huh.
And we've got a link up there right now to your website.
Okay, well, I have three websites. I hope we have the right
three.
One here.
You have three websites.
Yes, two of them I would like to dump, but I don't know how to do it. So one I keep up, and I think that's probably the one you have.
In other words, once you've created a website, it lives whether
it
you
lives
like it or not.
Forever, and I wish I knew how to kill it. There's two of them I'd like to run up.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joyce Murphy and Art Bell. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And good morning, Joyce. I'm sorry I didn't get your last name.
Murphy.
I wanted to mention a couple of things that have been going on in Southern California, and I'm not sure if Joyce is familiar with them or not. One is the bacteria that's affecting children. Has affected several children down here. Two have died.
What?
And
what bacteria is here?
They call... I'm not good with long scientific names like that, but it's like one little boy right now has it in San Diego. They're going to have to amputate his foot. And
is this what's known as the flesh-eating bacteria?
No, this is different. All they said is that it starts out like a cold, and then the kids come up with a rash, and two kids died, teenagers.
What?
And it was down in Orange County, and then some children in the San Fernando Valley have come down with it. They're okay, and they can go home. But it's just all of a sudden, it's just popped up. And then also the case of the men who were working in a abandoned Sears store in Covina. They had been digging down in the basement, getting ready to demolish it. And they... one man went down and was overcome by something, some kind of gas. His friends tried to go down and get him, and they were overcome by it. When they brought him up to the surface, some of the rescue workers were overcome by it. And when they took him to the hospital, they said even they had him outside, they had to leave their clothes outside. Now, then later, the report I heard was that it was carbon monoxide.
Uh-huh.
Now, as far as I know, carbon monoxide doesn't stay on clothes. It also dissipates in open air.
That's absolutely correct.
So if all of the rescue workers that were around this pit were out in open air,
that's
how are they affected
really,
by it?
That's really bizarre. As bizarre as Jasper.
Yeah. Those are two that I wanted to see if she was familiar with. This bacteria, they gave the name of it, but like I said, I'm not good with these names. But they said it starts out like a cold, the kids will develop a rash, and they said if they get it right away, they can combat it with antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the teenagers, I don't think she had it that long before she died.
I'm sorry. All of this is new to me. Joyce, had you heard about any of this?
No, I don't believe I have. I guess I'm not usually, in on health problems unless they affect around here. I'm always chasing UFOs, and I guess... The only reason I got in on this Arkansas thing was because there was possibly a UFO involved. But that's terrible. I mean, that's, seems like I heard somewhere that right before the Earth changes or something, that there are going to be a lot of new viruses and bacteria that affect us. Did somebody predict that?
Oh, many people have, Joyce.
Yeah.
Yes. There's something going on that I call the quickening that is sort of a summation of... everything that seems to be going on, all these new diseases, mysteries, economic problems accelerating, political problems accelerating, in every aspect of life, a quickening. I've been talking about that now for years. Clearly, there are changes underway, and we are headed toward a large change of some kind, Joyce. Do you get that sense?
Yeah, I believe that. I totally believe that. I think we're the Schumann resonance. Are you familiar with that?
What is it?
It's the actually the heartbeat of the Earth is increasing in frequency or it's beating faster, and that's something to do with our vibrational frequency that we're trying to accelerate and vibrate at a higher level. So I really believe all that stuff is true. I do. I'm not. Into all of the new age things because I haven't had time to really educate myself on them because I, try to stick to UFO phenomena, but I believe that there's a lot of truth in all of this.
Well, I've heard about the heartbeat of the earth. I know there is a resonance frequency, and so I, too, am not into all of this New Age stuff, but I have been a talk host for well over a decade now, and I observe this change that we're going through. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joyce Murphy and Art Bell. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in St. Louis. I'm Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Yes, I had a comment for Art.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at a map right now, Jasper, and I see Fort Smith not too far away from there.
Right.
And I have a couple of ideals. When you mentioned that the kids had to be taken to Harrison.
Right.
To the hospital.
Right.
Well, if this is an experiment, you know, I'm just saying it might be, the people that are experimenting with this are going to be wanting to look at the results.
Correct.
So maybe the doctors or professionals that are around there, look around and check them out, because they're going to be looking at these kids.
Well, that's true. I mean, we're off into utter speculation here, and we should
be clear
about
that. Right, I know it's speculation, but...
No, you're correct. I mean,
if that is going on, maybe you will be wanting to look at where the guinea pigs are going to be, and then that's where the experimenters are going
to
be, too.
I sure would like to talk to a doctor in Jasper. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. Joyce?
Yes?
How frequently do you conduct these UFO expeditions?
We usually have one a month going to somewhere in the world. Some of them, we just take primary teams for the primary investigation, maybe four or five people, and a lot of times we'll take a PhD psychologist with us, and we go out and actually, you know, do the logistics for taking a group back later and line up all of the investigation that we want to do, so we can be more efficient with our time when we go back. But we're out at least once a month, and then the rest of the year, we're traveling to different parts of the United States with our slideshow presentation, our road show that we do free of charge just to share our information.
All right. Well, you've been so good coming on in an area that really is not generally your area. I very much appreciate it. Is there a phone number people can call if they are interested?
Yes, there sure is. It's an 800 number,
right.
And it's... when I'm out of the country, it's usually, you know, has a machine on it, but it's 800-259-8747.
8747. That's 800-259-8747, right?
Right.
Joyce, one quick final question, because we're about out of time. Have there been sightings of the chupacabra in California?
Yes.
Where?
The high desert, the Baldy Mesa area.
Great.
Have a very good source there who also wants to remain anonymous, but yes, definitely. The chupacabra is definitely in the high desert area of California near Victorville.
Oh, just what I wanted to hear. That's not
yeah.
far from me. Great.
Well, it's kind of out of its territory. It usually sticks to a more jungle-like condition, so now it's gone to the high desert, so I don't know what's happening.
Hey, just what I wanted to hear, Joyce.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we will have you back on again. Thank you for coming on to discuss this strangeness in Arkansas. Thank you, Joyce.
Well, thank you, Art.
Take care. That's Joyce Murphy. I'm Art Bell, and this is the American CBC Radio Network.
Listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Art Bell is taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Well, good morning. We just finished doing 2 hours with Joyce Murphy on a very, very strange subject. Students suddenly collapsing after being on a playground in a little town called Jasper, Arkansas. Confirmation from people in Jasper. Confirmation, apparently, of some kind of substance detected in their bloodstream and their urine. Very strange story. Not possible to repeat it all now. A follow-up, somebody called about children in Southern California succumbing to bacterial infection. And sure enough, here is a newspaper story sent by Melissa at KXNT in Las Vegas. Dear Art, here's a story about the bacteria in California. Bacterial infection leaves two children gravely ill, it says. And they have no idea what it is. They're trying to figure out what it is. Officials at the San Diego County Health Department said experts do not know why some people develop infections and some don't. Strange occurrences around our nation, folks. We will go to open lines here shortly. Tomorrow night, Whitley Strieber on two very, very important topics. One, asteroids. There's a lot going on with asteroids, and I mean not just the movie coming up, but real close encounters, maybe too close for comfort. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. In addition, the Larsen ice shelf in the Antarctic is thought to be breaking up. I know, you think I'm crazy. I've got the AP story on it here, and Whitley will fill you in tomorrow night. That's right, the Larsen ice shelf in the Antarctic is breaking up. So anyway, open lines coming up shortly. No, I don't care to talk about O.J. Simpson. If you want to, you can. O.J. Simpson's comment yesterday, this is far from over. Referring, of course, to the $33.5 million he owes now, I guess. To me, it sounded like a threat that he's going to keep this subject alive in front of the American people no matter what. Well, all right, we're going to go to open lines now. I was on vacation, as you know, and I'm back now. I was in Mazatlan down in Mexico and had a blast. Here's a fax from Bob in El Paso, Texas. Dear Art, I'm Bob from El Paso. I, too, just returned from Mazatlan. I was there February 2nd through the 9th. I had to leave on the 9th because all the rooms everywhere were booked up. But I still caught the first edge of Mardi Gras, or Carnival, as it's known down there. And yes, indeed, I was there for Carnival, and he wanted to look me up. You know, it blew my mind, but there I was in Mazatlan, and I was getting recognized. I'm a radio guy, and I was getting, I had people, I mean, it's 2,000 miles south, or 1,500, 2,000, whatever it is, away down there. And below the tip of Baja. And people were recognizing me, taking photographs and stuff. Unbelievable. But it was a blast. A carnival was going on, and everybody was in a very festive mood. And they get wild. I will never, ever understand the theory behind a carnival or a Mardi Gras, if you will, which basically is that you go out and party really hard. And you party and you party and you party and you party. And it gets wilder and wilder and wilder and more sinful until you get to Ash Wednesday. And then on Ash Wednesday, I guess you stop all of that and you repent and think about that which you have just done. But this occurs on a yearly basis. In other words, you do evil, you do sin, and then you get clean on Ash Wednesday, beginning on Ash Wednesday. And I've never quite fully understood the psychology of that, or maybe I do. It's strange, anyway. And of course, Mardi Gras is in full swing right now. I would imagine, or just ended. Somebody might call from New Orleans, let me know what the deal is. I guess it really just at midnight it would have ended, huh? It's Wednesday now. Strange. Anyway, it was going on in Mazatlan, and then to make matters even stranger, a Mexican MTV was there, set up, and every teenager from a gazillion miles away somehow knew they were there, and so there were Mexican teenagers all over the place. All over the place. Matter of fact, I took a lot of photographs. We'll probably publish some of those for you, but it was a good trip. So back in the saddle again. Open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fine with me, except O.J. Simpson. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Yes, sir. Mr. Bell, sir?
Yes.
Yes, I've been listening with interest. I think you have a very interesting show and to share a lot of good information with the American people. And I'm wondering if you said if a person has information on what's happening in Jasper to call in?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Well.
What do you know?
Okay. I am associated. I'd like to give a little bit of the other side of it.
What is the other side?
Well, I'm associated with the government. With military and the civilian side. And I'm willing to give some information if we have certain ground rules.
Like what?
Well, you understand, I can't... there are many things that are secure that I cannot put out.
So in other words, you're not going to give us your military ID or your Social Security number or your home phone?
well... no, the main thing is that I think there's a basic misunderstanding here.
What are we misunderstanding?
Well, the first of all, let me ask you, sir, you are a patriotic man.
I don't know. What does that mean? That I love my country? Yes, I do.
Yes, well, of course you do. Know that you are a patriotic man, and we feel that that you would understand certain necessities, certain things.
Look, whether I am or not is not material to what you have to say. You called here to talk on the air in front of millions of people about something, so go ahead and spit it out.
Okay. Well, what's happening in Jasper is... the American people need to expect more of this. This is something that is quite necessary. It is
necessary. Necessary to make our school kids sick.
Well, we have a certain experimentation. But the title 50, we have to understand is what you know. The government. Has put forth is I'm sure you would agree is good for the American people.
No, I wouldn't agree with that at all. No.
Well,
why would it be good? Why would it be good for the American people for them to be experimented on with chemical or biological agents? Why would that be good?
Well, the bottom card here is.
National security.
Well, it's a double thing here. It's civilian control, and we need to know how these agents will react. But it's also for civilian control. Now, can you imagine what would happen if we had a rebellion against the executive branch of the government, for instance?
Oh, I see. So I think I've got you now. Here is a way to disable civilians. If they get a little rebellious, why, we just give them all headaches and have them fall down on the floor and they get rashes and sick, and who's going to rebel under those circumstances? Do I have that about right?
Well,
yes.
It's true that I'm not fully fully comfortable with all the aspects of this.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. You damn well ought not be comfortable. If what you're telling me is true, and I have some doubts, then it's sickening. And if you're even the least bit comfortable with it, then I wonder, sir, about your patriotism, since you brought up the word. I don't like to overuse that word, but if this is, as you are alluding to, some sort of government experimentation so we can decide whether we can control civilians under anarchistic conditions, and we're testing it on little school kids, then I've got a real serious problem with that. I'm not just a little uncomfortable with some aspects. I've got a real problem with that. Now, I'm not saying that's what it is. You're the one who seemed to be saying that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Well, reasonably well.
Boy, if that guy had any patriotism in his heart, he'd tell us what was going on.
Yeah, I know. The whole thing I found a little suspicious. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, listen, I want to clear up a couple of things for you down here in Orange County.
All right.
The bacteria that's going around is something that comes around once a year. The doctors have come on the television and they have explained it. The name of the bacteria, I'll spell it for you. It's M-E-N-I-N-G. O-C-O-C-C-E-M-I-A.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Okay.
You know, why do they have to name it something like this?
Right, right. But, you know, there's been about 40 cases a year that for the past several years here in Orange County, L.A., throughout the South, and also back east. I don't think that's anything to get alarmed of.
Unless you get it, I guess, huh?
Well, yeah, it does give you a fever, a rash, but the rash is not a red rash. It's a black rash.
A black rash.
Correct.
Yuck.
Now, when you had Joyce on the air,
yes,
you should have asked her if she had any information about that UFO sighting in Wilmington.
Well, the UFO sighting in Wilmington and then the falling from the sky of a 1950s automobile. I've yet to follow up on that one. That occurred just before I went on vacation. I'll see if I can make some calls tomorrow on that.
Boy, that would have been something to see. But I'm here in Orange County.
Well, don't get M-E-N-I-N-G-O-C-O-C-C-E-M-I-A if you can avoid it.
Believe me, I haven't been sick in 10 years.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Take care. Why don't we just call it something simple? Well, because then people would talk about it. But now, with a word like this, you can't even talk about it. Meningococcemia was something. I wouldn't even know. Meningococcemia? I'm sorry. Somebody with some medical training out there, help. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Little Rock, Arkansas.
I was talking to you a minute ago.
Oh, well, you're only allowed to call one time. I appreciate the call, sir, but it is one call per customer per night. That is the rule of the show. The only one of our few hard rules, and that is that you can only call once. Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255. And you cannot, number one, you can't use your last name. Number two, you're going to have to get into that phone and just about yell at us. So give us your first name only.
Mary Doe from California.
Okay. And what's going on, Mary?
Well, I was just listening to what's been going on tonight.
Right.
And I'm almost afraid to even talk about it because it's got to do with the virus and all the kids and the government, what that guy was talking about, or whatever it is.
Did you believe him?
In a weird kind of sense, in some kind of way, because I'm dealing with a bunch of stuff that involves with children and...
And viruses?
Yeah, and the government and...
You are?
Yeah.
How did you get involved in this, Mary?
Well, anonymously, since I've been 7 years old, I've been watching, you know, the you know, reading the Bible. That Bible's got a lot to do with it.
Well, now, oh, wait a minute. I don't mind discussion of the Bible, but what does that have to do with children and viruses?
Well,
and your involvement, you're going to have to
straighten out. Well, I'm not involved in it. It kind of like goes through prayer and meditation and through your dream episodes that you have. Occasionally I'll catch them. Usually it's gone once, gone twice, gone, or your answering machine blowing up.
All right, well, I appreciate your call, but I have no idea what you're talking about. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Jim calling from Tennessee.
Hi, Jim.
I was wondering if maybe you all have heard anything about a train incident in Arizona a few weeks ago. I heard a story on CNN one time, they actually showed footage of a train that had been blown up, and they said that the crew members had disappeared. They couldn't find them.
No, I hadn't heard about this.
Well, it was on CNN about two and a half weeks ago.
A train in Arizona was blown up.
Derailed.
Derailed.
And they had
sabotage. They feel it was sabotage.
They didn't say. They said they, well, yeah, I guess they did. They said they thought that a bomb had possibly exploded.
All right.
And caused it to derail, and there was aerial footage of the incident.
Really? And then there were crew members missing?
The entire crew.
The entire crew.
Yeah, and after this time, I watched the news the following day. Excuse me.
Suddenly the story disappeared, right?
Excuse me?
Suddenly the story disappeared.
Right, and I called the local news here in Tennessee, the newspapers, to see if the research department had any information, but no one knew anything. They called me back, and she said, well, that sounds like a mystery. It could be something interesting. And she said that she would personally look into it and call me back if she had any information, you know. But to me, it's just a big story, and no one has covered it at all.
You're right. It is, if it's true. And now what I can do, we're heard all over Arizona, and I can ask the people in Arizona for some help and see if it is a true story.
Okay, great. So I'll stay tuned.
All right, stay tuned. All right, well, I've learned not to scoff at that which I hear of this sort. People in Arizona, what do you know about this? Is there any truth to it? Should we expect to see these people, this crew, this disappeared crew, drop from the skies like a mid-50s automobile? Maybe a decade from now. What the hell's going on out there anyway? Anybody in Arizona know what this man was talking about? I've certainly heard of some sabotage being committed against rail lines and trains, but nothing about entire crews disappearing. What is going on out there? From the high desert, right in the middle of high weirdness, this is CBC.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Bell, toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-8255, east of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033, 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It certainly is. Top of the morning, everybody. Great to be here. I'm Art Bell, and we are talking about anything you want to talk about. All right, back now to the phones. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is Frank from Reno.
Hello, Frank.
And I'm calling about all these news reports that we've been, that you've been getting, and they suddenly disappear.
Yes.
It's just really bizarre to me that I recall back in 1987, I'm watching the news one day, and the Japanese airline, JAL,
right,
they all, over Alaska, all the passengers see a UFO. They're all talking about it. The pilot's talking about it. It's on the news. It's the second story on ABC. The next day, you don't hear a thing about it. But it seems like in the last 6 months, that is increasing. There's a lot more stories that you hear about one day. Some of them, like TWA, they keep going on, and you hear a lot more about it. But other things, like this train derailment, or this situation that took place here in Jasper, suddenly they just disappear out of the into thin air. And it makes you wonder. The government at times seems at odds with the news media, but yet at other times they seem to have a lot of control over what stories have a continuing...
Now you would normally expect if 50 people got sick over something that they could not explain, that is a large national story.
Absolutely.
Until we get to the bottom of it, it's a big story. Now maybe it'll turn out to be nothing, but it is insufficient to get an explanation that they found some foreign compound or substance in their blood and urine. And I'm unwilling to let it drop there, and I'm going to know before this is over what this is.
Without a doubt. And then, just like you think, you'd think that with 50 people getting sick, there are several other stories in the last 15 years where something's occurred, and you continue to hear about it, and they go to, you get to the bottom of what actually happened.
Yep.
That's what makes you think that the government has something to do with it, even though it may sound way out there, but it makes you think the government must have something to do with it because we're not hearing about it.
I'm with you, my friend.
It's amazing. Great show, Art.
Thank you. Take care. We'll be right back. Are you overweight? Would you like to lose an average 8 to 10 pounds in the next month? We know that fiber helps sweep fat out of the digestive tract like a broom, reducing the amount of fat your body stores as excess weight. Well, let me tell you about a revolutionary fiber, Kaijosan. It's a natural fiber that comes from shellfish. It not only sweeps fat, but also absorbs up to 10 times more fat than other fibers. You can get this fiber in a formula called KaijoSlim. KaijoSlim is effective because you can lose weight without changing your eating habits. And there are no stimulants. It's a gentle, effective way to lose excess weight. Here's the special offer. When you order a 90-day supply of KaijoSlim, you'll get an antioxidant moisturizing cream absolutely free. Call 1-800-557-4627. It's guaranteed to work or your money back, and it's not available in stores. So call 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. You've got nothing to lose but the fat, and I assume you want that gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello? Yes, sir. Hello.
Yes, this is Sam.
Sam, turn your radio off.
Yeah,
that's
going
number
to
one.
All right, got it.
Okay, good. Where are you?
In St. Louis.
Okay, Sam.
I just had a simple couple of statements. A lot of them got lost waiting. Let's see. I'll just stick to the simplest one that I remember.
All right.
Let's see. You were talking often about the quickening. I've heard you talk about that more than once.
For years, Sam.
Well, I've only been listening to you for about 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
Only off and on. I just now started working nights, so.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, go ahead.
It occurred to me, and I know this might sound silly to some of your other listeners, but it occurred to me maybe you ought to check out The Revelation of John.
The Revelation
of the Bible.
Uh-huh. Well, I've read the Bible, Sam. My observation is not based on anything that I've read in the Bible. It's based on simple observation of current events, Sam.
Well, that comes right back to what I was saying. At the time that I noticed the same thing that you've been noticing, I had never read the Bible myself. And someone suggested it that I go and look at that, and at the time I did, and I didn't really think much of it, but that's because I couldn't understand half the words in it. The King James Version is not really written for anyone other than someone who was alive at the time King James was to read it.
Wouldn't mean a lot to somebody squarely into Ebonics, huh?
No, not really. But I did pick up something that I could read, and I read through it, and there's still a lot in it I don't understand.
Well, Sam, the Bible be there to read. Thanks for the call. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Art?
Yes.
Hi, this is Angela from Alaska.
Hello, Angela. Where in Alaska are you, pray tell?
Juneau. Yeah.
Juneau, the rainy capital.
Yes, it is, and it's raining right now.
Accessible only by sea or air.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of people know that.
No, they don't, huh?
So what's going on up there besides rain?
Not much. It's snowing a little bit. It snowed about 3 inches last night.
Really?
Yes. My question to you tonight was about, I was wondering if anyone in the sleep paralysis has been weighed to see if they have lost their a three-quarter ounce.
No, the answer to that is no, but I thought of that myself, and I think that would make a wonderful, wonderful experiment.
Me too.
And we don't have to have somebody die to give it a shot. So I'm all for it. I thought of it myself.
Yeah. I was listening to one of your reruns, and I was wondering, you know, that would be great if someone who can control it would weigh themselves and see.
And imagine this. If you knew by watching the encephalograph when they were out of body,
mm-hmm.
and you could just go in, you could see the weight loss, you go in and go, wake up, and then all of a sudden, boom, 3/4 of an ounce pops back, you really got something.
Yep, and there you go. It'd be the soul. There's your answer. I think that would be great if someone would do that.
All right. It is hereby suggested.
Okay, well, thanks, Art, and I'm glad to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be back from Juneau, Alaska, capital of Alaska. I am going to Alaska soon. Now, I'm not going to say any more about it right now than just that teaser. But I'm going to Alaska soon. East of the Rockies, you'll be hearing about it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. This is the Blue Bark Biker from Branson area.
The Blue Biker?
Yeah, I sent you a letter written backwards a few months ago, but I know that you got so much mail you probably never got around to it.
Well, I've barely gotten around to most of that which is written forwards.
Yeah. All right. I've got some notes here. We live not too far from the area that you were talking about, Jasper.
Yes, sir.
Just north of the border. And it was on the Springfield channel on television, and they didn't take it very lightly. They thought it was pretty serious. And
well, I should say so.
Some of the other things I thought I'd pass along to you. I have a friend that was a 22-year veteran of the Air Force. He was a senior master sergeant. And he said that back before they started dropping Agent Orange in Vietnam, that they experimented on it around the Eureka Springs area. So just to let you know that there's a possibility that the government can do things like that.
Oh, there's no question about it. Sure they can.
And
but can you imagine, how could anybody, even, I mean, you know, you say the government, but the government is people. And when it gets right down to it, there's got to be a person who says, okay, you know, we're going to fly a jet over this little town in Arkansas, or we're going to drive a truck by, and we're going to spray these kids in a schoolyard. I mean, come on now. Think about that.
Oh, yeah, but I think we've historically found out that the government does things that we're not too happy about later when we find out about it.
Unbelievable.
And you were talking about why the other networks and things don't pick this up and talk about these things. Well, I think most of us listen, think that your programs with Major Ed Dames are some of the most dynamite things that we could ever listen to, and they're pretty damn scary.
Well, a lot of what we do here is scary,
yeah,
and it varies from the surreal to the real to science fiction. You know, I'll let the audience pick apart.
Well, sure, but when you think about that, if that has any grounds to it whatsoever, how come we haven't heard that from anywhere else? You know, we depend on you for that. But if there is any real meat to that, what Major Ed Dames comes up with, you would think that there would be someone else that would be latching onto it and going, hey, guess what?
Well, the problem is, like most, like most seers, predictors, remote viewers, whatever, the media is going to treat that kind of like a prediction. You know, even Jean Dixon made predictions, and when she would make some pretty strange predictions, you remember she predicted Kennedy was going to be shot, many other things, late Jean Dixon. But even her dire predictions would not be publicized necessarily nationally. It just is not something the American mainstream press does. That's all. But, you know, this thing in Arkansas, it's a whole different story. That's a big story. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, this is John from Cape May, New Jersey. There must be something wrong with your wild card line. It's been busy all night long and you haven't picked it up.
Well, look, it's just that there are a lot of people calling. There are 325 radio stations out there now, and so it's busy. That's the name of the tune.
Well, I just wanted to mention that we better be careful about our UFO sightings that were in these areas where things happen, like around this school. It might be the government trying to get us against aliens or UFOs or whatnot, you know, to part of this New World Order thing.
All right. Well, thank you. I would think their interest would be exactly the opposite. If there really is something to this New World Order, they would be trying to promote it, not be against it, right? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
It's great to have you back. Why?
Thank you.
Was wondering, curious if there was any word on Taylor Kramer for Mandamus.
None yet.
Not yet, huh?
People need not ask about this stuff, my friend. When I know, you'll know.
Okay.
How's that?
That's great. How about, are you going to be cutting your mustache soon?
No.
No. Okay. Well, I was just curious if you're going to be going to California and doing another...
I was going to go... they had invited me to go Tuesday and Thursday. In other words, it would have been, let's see, today and tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Well, yesterday now and tomorrow. And it's just too much on top of my vacation, so I had to turn it down.
I see. But nothing coming up in the future, huh?
Well, yeah, no doubt.
No doubt. Okay, Art, again, it's great to have you back live.
See you later. Thank you. I was going to do a pretty big part in Dark Skies, but I just didn't want to be gone for that period of time and fly to L.A. twice. Yikes. Too much, so I declined, and they're going to recast that part, and at some date in the future, I will do it again. Now, tomorrow night, Hard Copy is going to be here at the house, and I'll tell you more about that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art. This is Craig in Hickory, Kentucky.
Hi, Craig.
I hope you enjoyed your Mexican vacation.
I certainly did.
Did you take your telescope with you?
I certainly did not.
You didn't?
No.
Have you got a chance to use it yet?
You have any idea what it would be like taking a large tripod Meade telescope to Mexico on a short trip?
Yeah, I understand. Have you had a chance to use it yet, though?
Yes.
Okay. Are you satisfied with it?
Exceptionally satisfied.
I'm glad. I was wondering, when you were in Mexico, folks here in the United States are always hearing about the political problems in Mexico and the potential for revolution.
Thank you for asking. Yes, I have some news about that, and I'll get it on the air. I, of course, was in Sinaloa in Mexico, and I asked a number of people about the political situation in Mexico, and all of them gave me a thumbs down, indicating the situation is deteriorating rapidly. Now, this has come from every single person that I've talked to. So I'm warning you, I'm telling you, that you're not hearing about the political dissatisfaction in Mexico. But if you think people are dissatisfied here, you should see the way they are in Mexico. Expect trouble. That's what I would tell you. expect trouble in Mexico. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Well, hello, Art. How are you doing?
Fine.
Hey, listen, in reference to the train in Phoenix, this is Jerry in Phoenix.
What can you tell me about that?
Well, there was a derailment about 2.5 weeks ago.
Yes.
And it's true that the people that were running the train weren't there. They were about 10 miles further east. What happened is they switched tracks to get another load of cars, and they're at the top of a hill.
Yeah.
And evidently, this is the first time it happened, but the rest of the train started rolling backwards, and they had to go catch up with it. And by the time they got 10 miles down the road, there was...
Wait. Let's take this a little slower.
Okay.
A train is up on top of a hill.
Well...
They've got cars on the train, is that correct?
Right. They're at the top of a slow hill, but,
aren't it? And so somehow a portion or half the train becomes disconnected from the other half?
Right, because they were switching tracks and they had to go pick up some more cars, and this is normally an area where they do that. They switch cars there.
So the train began going downhill?
Right. Without
an engine.
Right, and it went about 10 miles to this...
10 miles.
A straight run, and then there's a little town at the bottom, and it did
derail. I bet they were thrilled. Here comes a runaway train.
Yeah, it wasn't too far from a little school there, too, and they evacuated everyone. Yeah. But, you know, there's no government involvement there. It was just...
No explosion.
There was a fear of a fire and so forth, but there was a little bit of a problem there, but nothing major. It could have been major. I understand there was some chemicals in one of the cars, but it was contained, and they got it out of there real quick. So, but no problems there. About your one caller there, I guess he implied that he was a government agent or a government representative.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
I thought it was a hoax. You know, my feeling is if the government ever sprays chemicals and involves kids, boy, I'll tell you what, there will be some heads rolling from the top. I mean, I would be outraged.
Now, just a moment. I would like to agree with you, and years ago I certainly would have. But our own Hazel O'Leary admitted that they fed pregnant women plutonium and children plutonium and on and on and on. So it's not like they haven't done it, sir.
No, I agree, but I think the attitude today is a whole lot different than it was, say, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Absolutely. When you hear about something they did 40 years ago, you go, So in another 40 years, maybe we'll hear about what occurred in Arkansas?
That's probably pretty true. Yeah, unfortunately, you might be right. So, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you very
much
for the call. All right, take care. It deals with different topics. Tomorrow night, for example, Whitley Strieber is going to be here, and we're going to talk about the possibility of something hitting Earth, specifically an asteroid near Earth asteroids. And we're going to talk about something very worrisome, and that is the breakup of the Larsen ice shelf in the Antarctic. It's the damnedest thing you've ever heard. I've got from Sydney, Australia, I've got a story. Deep holes, cracks several miles long, are spreading through an Antarctic ice shelf, and scientists who examine them predict the shelf will soon collapse. 2 years ago, the northern section of the 620-mile-long Larsen ice shelf collapsed after a period of warmer-than-usual temperatures. They are now suggesting that one scientist said, quote, it will be destroyed without any doubt. This is a scientist who has spent the past 7 years observing that area, and he now believes the entire ice shelf is going to... So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. And I don't mean to unnecessarily worry you, but this is a real story. Strange but true. So, Whitley Strieber here tomorrow night talking about near-Earth asteroids, as well as this problem, apparent problem, with the Larsen ice shelf. I know, folks, if it isn't the quickening, then what in the world is it? We're going to break here at the top of the hour. I'm Art Bell from the High Desert,
the apparent new home of the Chupacabra, this is CBC.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Art Bell is taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, am I on the air?
I hope so.
Oh, well, did you want to know something about medical word that was mentioned earlier?
Sure.
Like, I think it was meningococcosemia.
Something like that.
Was that it? Well, meningeal refers to the three layers of membrane that surrounds the brain and the spinal cord.
Right.
Cocco refers to a round-shaped bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And emia refers to the blood.
I still think it's an unfair word, but okay.
And I'd also like to mention the fellow who called in from the government, supposedly.
Yes.
My understanding is that anybody who is connected to the government would never call in on a radio talk show and identify themselves.
Well, they might. They might say, I work for the government, but I have high suspicions that caller was full of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you for your show.
Thank you for your call, and thank you for the explanation of that otherwise unpronounceable word. It is an inflammation that has something to do with the brain, so I'm sure she is exactly correct. A lot of strange things occurring out there right now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, Art.
Hi.
Oh, I thought I'd... I thought I'd get another a screener first.
I don't have a screener, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We don't screen calls.
Okay. I've got reason to believe that the Mayans knew about DNA in their early hieroglyphics. I heard some lady talking about it on one of your competitors' networks.
Okay.
And I, to a more or less out-of-body, the sleep thing. Right. But if you don't go out of the body and you go through the demons...
What demons?
Well, a lot of people will see things that will scare them away from going into certain areas.
Like demons?
Huh?
That would do it.
Well, they're not really demons. It's just a scare tactic, so you don't...
Well, that was your word, not mine.
All right, yeah. Well, a lot of people, I heard some people talk on your show that way, but actually they're not really. It's just a figment of your imagination. But you can actually go through them if you don't have any fear. You can go through them and answer almost any question that you have by doing it. It takes a lot of courage.
Well, okay. I presume you've done it, right?
Yes, I
so have. What answers do you have that you can enlighten us all with?
The DNA, there's some hieroglyphics that can't be read. And they find out that in DNA, the messages or ideas are put in between the genes, and they're attached by enzymes. But the Mayans knew how to start these enzymes. Somebody will catch on. I know. It's pretty simple. If you go to the hieroglyphics and you find out how the mind works, it takes the scientist, because I've been going through a lot of DNA stuff because my son had a brain tumor, and that's what gave me the courage to go through these fears in order to find the answer. But it's actually you have to change your belief systems, and you have to have the truth. And once you find that, you will find the answers. It'll take me about an hour to explain it all, but I don't want to do that on the air, because people will get the wrong idea. That's about all I can say, Art.
Appreciate your call, sir. Wish we understood what you meant. What I got out of that was that the Mayans had decoded DNA, and that information is contained in hieroglyphics that have not been decoded, but that you know that. So maybe tomorrow night, Whitley is going to talk a little bit about the Mayans and their calendar, as a matter of fact, as we talk about this incredible Larsen ice shelf business. Getting ready to collapse, the entire ice shelf. And, you know, I'm curious if that occurs, and I was talking with Whitley about this earlier, what are the implications? In other words, let's assume whether it's global warming or for whatever other reason, this ice shelf is going to let go. What will happen? What effect will that have? Everybody is agreeing the Larsen ice shelf is going to let go, but nobody seems to know what's going to happen when it does. What does it mean for us? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I got some requests.
All right.
What about the Truth or Trash? Play that Steve Collin game. Let's see here. I want to hear the book, Bigfoot Yell. And I want to hear that song with Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash, Reincarnation.
You don't want much, huh?
No, I'm an easygoing guy.
I'll take it under advisement.
All right, also to that G-Man guy. Yeah, you're full of it. The guy from the government?
Yeah.
Clown.
Yeah, I didn't think that was very funny.
Yeah. All right, Art, thanks.
You're welcome. See you later. We'll get to all of that in due time. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, Art, Little Rock College, KRN.
Yes, sir.
You can call Sharon Lee at 9:20 tomorrow between 2 and 3 Central Time.
Yes, sir.
And that's your news person at KRN, your affiliate. And keep in mind, Sandra Nichols is a woman. She's got the head of the health department.
Yes.
And she was a replacement for Jocelyn Elders, the former Surgeon General.
Yes.
Okay, well, I called the... First District Congressman, Asa Hutchinson.
Right.
And asked him to get some real doctors on that story. And so hopefully there's going to be something coming out about that. But the man was correct about the anti-government feeling.
Yeah.
On the Carter administration, they took the Buffalo National River, which is up through there, Boone County.
Yeah.
Yale County. And...
Yeah, but the implication of what he said is that because somebody doesn't like the government, they're going to do something to a bunch of school children on a playground?
No, you just don't like your children passing out for no known reason, especially with rashes and bruises and no answer.
Well, nobody would like that. I appreciate the call, sir, but see, there's two ways that people tend to look at this. One is the government did it. The other is somebody out of their minds did it as some sort of protest. either way. Both of them would be out of their minds, as far as I'm concerned, absolutely out of their minds. How do our children get into the middle of this? Is that what it was in Oklahoma City when they bombed the Murrah building? How do you redress government wrongs by killing children? Twisted minds out there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this live?
No, it's Memorex.
Okay, well, this is Fred in Idaho Falls.
This is Art in Pahrump, Nevada.
How are you, Art?
Okay.
I thought the reason why I asked if it was live, because I think one of your hours is put on replay. But evidently I've got you live, and it's...
It would seem so.
319. Well, I'm glad to speak to you. And I wanted to ask if you have, if you've heard anything, if anybody has said anything about this huge ice field that has, they suspect is breaking away and has already split. And
yeah, I've been talking about it all morning, sir. The Larsen Ice Shelf.
Larsen Ice Shelf, okay.
Yes.
Well, comment was made, or I, you know, believe probably asked what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I heard, I didn't substantiate it, and I don't know what source it came from, but it was in regard to the news of this ice breaking away. The comment was made that it would of course begin melting as
yes.
it reached the warmer climate.
Correct.
And that it would raise the water, the ocean level by a certain amount of footage. I didn't recall, or perhaps I didn't hear the exact footage.
Well, that's
but
a
that
rather...
it would raise.
Yeah, that's a rather critical bit of information.
Yeah. Well,
there's another thing, sir, that it would do, and I also would like to know the impact of this. In other words, that ice is primarily fresh water, not mm-hmm. salt. All right?
Correct.
When that mixes with salt water, there is going to be an effect. I don't know what that effect is. I'm not a scientist, but obviously the Larsen ice shelf breaking off is a very serious event, and we've got to figure out who to talk to find out.
Well, what we need to do, Art, is we need to go up there before it breaks, it gets into the one of the current streams, and anchor it up there, and then take off the fresh water and market it. I hear the Japanese have taken ice cubes off of some of those icebergs because the purity and clarity of the water makes excellent ice cubes. I don't know why we don't just anchor that thing up there and put a claim on it. But I'm going to find out a little more about it, and I'll fax you some info.
All right. I'll look forward to it. I think the problem may run a little deeper. In other words, whether it's global warming or it's something else that's causing this, they're saying here that the average temperature has risen 4.5 degrees over the last 50 years. And it does not take very much of a change in temperature to cause something like an ice shelf, which is actually ecologically very delicate, to completely change. Now, we have gone through ice ages before, and then I suppose periods when it warms. But remember that our presence here is a rather delicate balance, and I want to understand, and I'm sure you do too, exactly what the implications are. This is not a maybe. This is occurring, folks. Worrisome as it may be, it is occurring. It's a 4,600 square mile ice shelf on the Antarctic Peninsula. And it is predicted to collapse completely within the next 2 years. I want to know what it's going to do. How about you? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Good. Where are you?
I'm in Springfield, Oregon.
Okay. Proceed.
Okay. Yes, sir. I was just calling to ask about, well, you know about Major Isisart, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The only one here, sir.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was listening to you on the radio right now, and it didn't coincide. So
there's a delay. That's why we have people like you turn the radio down.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Well, I'm glad for that. Anyway, yes, I was curious on the mutated frogs and everything that people have been finding now with this ice thing and the bacteria found and everything, the quickening.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it seems to me that, you know, that you guys do have a definite point on that. And
I think we have a point, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, with all the stuff going on. And as far as that one guy goes, I myself am in a part of the government myself.
You are?
Yes, I am, sir. And internal security. And it sounded to me, I'm at work right now, it sounded to me like that, you know, one way or another, that his story didn't match for some reason, you know, as far as that goes. But, you know, who's to say? And
so you're actually a government employee on duty in internal security, you said, right now?
Right now I am, yes.
Phoning our talk show.
Phoning your talk show, that's correct. Incriminating, isn't it?
On our dollars.
Not on your dollars.
Well,
I'm
it, it is our, well, who do you think, who do you think pays your salary?
Well, I do. I'm my own contractor.
Oh.
But I work for a government firm.
Well, yes, but when you do contract work for the government pays you, right?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And then whose money do you think that is?
Oh, that's ours.
Right. The American people's.
That's true.
So ultimately, you see, if contractor or direct employee, your money is coming from the American taxpayer. Just so I point that out.
Okay, well, but anyway, getting back to what I was saying now, I don't know about all this crap that's going on, but I was going to ask you, as far as when were you going to have either Ed Danes back or Joyce Riley back on?
Well, I just had Ed Danes.
Yeah.
He was just on. And Joyce Riley will be coming up shortly.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be listening.
All right. It never ceases to amaze me how people rationalize their own activities and how they, anyway, you heard the call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
This is Jim from the UP of Michigan.
Hello, Jim.
I was just wondering, while you were on vacation, they replayed an earlier broadcast of the photos you received.
That's right.
Of the UFOs. And I was just wondering...
Oh, no. Of what UFOs?
Of objects.
Oh, you mean the Saturn, the SLO, Saturn-like object. The photograph from Professor Brown and Prudence Calabrese.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
And I was wondering, since it was a replay and I just heard it the other day,
mm-hmm.
if you ever had gotten a name from where they had got, where they got the photos, or what was the outcome of that?
Well, if you were listening the other day, that's what the whole program was about.
But you tried to get them to name names?
And they wouldn't, and they still haven't. Nothing has changed.
Nothing. It's just dead-ended.
Well, it's dead-ended. Yes. Dead-ended. That's right. Dead-ended.
Wow. This deal down in Arkansas.
Yes.
It's kind of unbelievable.
Well, I'm sorry it may be, but it is true.
From a humane standpoint, a caller had mentioned that, or you had mentioned earlier, that the government is people.
Yes.
And to be so inhumane.
Well, I don't... All right, thank you. I don't know for sure that the government did anything. I have no proof of that. But with respect to past actions by the government, yeah, the government is people. I mean, ultimately, somebody's got to push a button, pull a switch, yank a lever, do something that is going to spray something or another onto a civilian population. Could you do that? Are you surprised that there aren't people out there who can do that? I am. We'll be right back.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Your hair is hollow gold. Let me cry. Her hands are never cold. She's got better days aside. She's kind of music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow.
Call Art Bell toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-8255, east of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033, 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It is. And listen, if anybody out there has any information on what this ice shelf is going to do when it breaks up, what changes it will bring on, and what it means, I would appreciate the input by email at artbell@aol.com or fax me at area code 702-727-8499. Don't send any more than three pages or I'll never see it. But that's 702-727-8499. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
This is Michael. I'm calling from Marysville, California.
Yes, Michael.
I have something that might be of interest to you.
Okay.
Regarding Father Malachi Martin.
Yes.
You remember you always were mentioning the quickening?
Yes.
Well, I know for a fact sometime this year, and I can't say when, but there will be a horrendous explosion in the heavens. And when this occurs, there will be a total whiteout. In other words, everything on Earth will be totally white.
How do you know this?
This is one of the prophecies. One of it has to do with Our Lady of Fatima.
Oh, yes.
Which Father Malachi Martin lightly covered. He was also mentioning about keeping your eyes up in the heavens and toward the month of April.
That's right.
Well, this is approximately, and I'm not saying this is an exact fact, because I don't really know for sure. But there's a very good possibility that it could happen then.
Well, I understand, my friend, and I appreciate it. There are people saying all kinds of things, and it is true that Father Martin said, keep your eye on the sky this spring. So sure, something could happen. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a religious leader. I'm just a talk show host. But I do have my ear to the ground in more ways than one. And what I call the quickening is as real as can be to me. I've given this very, very deep thought, believe me. I better not say any more right now. I'm going to have some news for you soon. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, Mr. Bell, how are you?
I am fine.
This is Cindy from Pahrump.
Hey there. Pahrump. All right, right here in Pahrump.
That's right. It's cold out here this morning.
It is. Well, we're in the desert, Cindy.
I know. I just got done watching a terrific meteor shower.
You know what? I've been hearing from a number of people that they're falling like rain out there.
They are. They're coming like from the southwest.
Southwest?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I'll go out in the next break and take a look.
Yeah, there was quite a few of them about a half hour ago. But
people don't understand how clear our skies are out here.
No, they're gorgeous, and the critters, they're all anxious and nervous tonight.
Well, they're probably pods, Cindy.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, but yeah, we're so glad to have you back.
Well, it's good to be here.
Yeah.
Mexico was great, but, you know, Pahrump is home.
Yeah, right, no place like home.
Yep.
Well, that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Cindy.
Okay.
See you later. Cindy right here in Pahrump. Figure the odds of that. One night, I've got to do it again. Open a Pahrump line. There are strange people here. I say that affectionately. The people who live in Pahrump, Nevada are independent, a little different. I mean, you've got to be. This is like the last frontier. I have heard there is a meteor shower going on. As a matter of fact, my wife said something about it on the way back. She took my mom to the airport. She's safely on her way, I trust now. And said there was a meteor shower going on, so I guess I'm going to have to go out and take a look. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Austin, all right.
I have, first of all, a question. Stephen Gibbs, a guest that you had last month.
Time Machine Gibbs, yes.
Yes. I just recently got on the internet and pulled up some information. I didn't find any information on how to reach Mr. Gibbs, how to obtain his catalog.
Well, we gave out that address on the air.
I know, and I had to miss it for that period of time. I came back and somebody said that they gave the address out and nobody wrote it down for me.
I'm sorry, I don't have it with me.
Hmm.
About all I can suggest
to you. Can I email you and get that sent back to me?
Maybe.
Okay, I'll go ahead and try that. I'll give that a shot. Next thing I would like to throw up...
Well, not here on the air. I mean, do it after.
Thanks for the wit. I could use the late night humor. Actually, I believe it's okay to go ahead and say this on the air. What I believe to be the truth is the whole OJ situation currently is a diversion.
Well, it's not working on my program because you're the only one who's even mentioned the word OJ.
I know, I realize this, but I'm talking about the general public and the mainstream media. That everybody's being diverted by, obviously, by...
Oh, the whole thing is idiotic.
Exactly.
I'm so sad. He's not going to pay the money. They're not going to get the money.
Exactly.
This award doesn't mitigate a damn thing. There are lives lost, and the money is not going to mitigate anything.
When things happen like Jasper, for instance...
Yes.
It's easy to use something like OJ and Menendez boys and you know, stuff like that to divert everybody's attention.
Well, it's not exactly... Look, the public will talk about what they're interested in. There are some talk shows that are stuck on OJ like a bad dream. I'm not one of them.
I know. I didn't really want to infect your show with it. I just wanted to make it clear that that's all that's about.
All right. Well, you did. Thank you. I don't want to talk about it. I don't care. All right. I will read you one thing that I think is relevant, if I can find it, about OJ here. One thing that I think is relevant. Yeah, here it is. See if you agree with this, because I do. All right. Concerning the recent civil lawsuits against OJ Simpson, which the jury awarded a total of $33.5 million for the plaintiffs, over the last several nights, I recalled a statement that you once made. Quote, "There are many different prisons in one's life," end quote. Yes, I said that. It may be true in Mr. Simpson's situation that civil prison, consisting of losing all of his assets, endorsement income, and future appearances in Naked Gun sequels, will prove worse than spending time in the pokey. Furthermore, even though he'll be free to walk the streets, he'll probably be shunted like a leper. I feel that two wrongs have been mitigated, but I believe also that the juice has placed himself in the worst prison of all. Mark. And you know what? I agree with him. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Well, howdy, Art.
Well, hi there.
I got a couple questions for you.
All right.
First of all, did you ever find out, is the Telstar 401 actually gone from its orbit, or did it just black out? Did it just fail?
Well, I've heard both. Stanton Friedman, who I respect, is suggesting it is gone from its orbit. I know of nobody who has confirmed it is still there. It certainly is not functioning in any way at all. None of the telemetry is being heard. It's not doing its job as a TV repeater. So it's gone.
Well, all righty. I guess probably the only people that can tell wouldn't tell us if they didn't want to. And I pulled up a priest letter on your webpage. I think it was on your webpage.
Yes, it was.
Ever hear back from that fella?
No. When I do, you'll know.
All righty. And one last thing. I was just speculating. They sent up the space shuttle to do an upgrade, I guess.
On the Hubble.
The Hubble.
Yep.
Just thought that might be interesting time. Pure speculation, but I don't know exactly what they were upgrading it to do.
Oh, probably to see comets better.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All right, well, have a good evening.
Take care. Yeah, they're doing an upgrade. Wonder what they're doing. They did not specifically say. I didn't hear what the upgrade was supposed to be. Maybe a new lens. Who knows? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, is this Art Bell?
Yes, it is.
Well, how nice to talk to you on the phone. Listen to you out here in Hawaii. My name is Bob, and I'm calling from the island of Kauai.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing? You sound different on the telephone.
Everybody tells me that, Bob.
I suppose so. Art, I wanted to talk about that. Is it Antarctic or Arctic ice shelf?
The Antarctic.
Antarctic.
Yes, sir.
Well, first thing I wanted to say was that 4,400 square miles is really not really very big. The big island out here is 4,000 square miles. So, in terms of
that's pretty big, my friend.
Well, in terms of the whole Pacific Ocean, the amount of ice and fresh water, I don't think it's really that big. But what I wanted to mention was that a year ago, at least, I read in Discover Magazine.
Yes.
About evidence that had been collected down there by scientists that the entire ice shelf, not the shelf, but the entire cap, the western and eastern caps, had shown evidence of having slid into the ocean on two or three occasions in the past. And we're talking now like the western ice shelf is bigger than the United States, the whole continent of the United States.
Yeah, well, the Larsen shelf, should it break up completely, which is what they're saying is going to occur, would be a precursor, possibly, to the rest of it.
Oh, definitely.
Going. I mean, this is quite serious, and nobody's talking about what it is going to mean.
Well, from what I read in this article, if the eastern ice shelf, if I have it right, the smaller one, was to slide into the ocean, and that was the one that the article was mainly about. At the end of the article, there was kind of an epilogue that said that they had recently discovered the same evidence of the western, the bigger Arctic,
yes,
Antarctic layer, the ice layer.
Right,
slid
right,
in.
Right, right.
But it said if the smaller one had slid in, besides the waves that it would produce, probably would be, you know, thousands of feet high, but it would raise the sea level by, I think the figure was 60 feet, which would give me oceanfront property here on Kauai. But if the bigger ice shelf was to go, which computer models that they ran, some scientists ran, and it was noted in this article, if it actually went in, that it would raise worldwide sea level by 200 feet. And I just this last month was reading in one of the magazines that I read, and I can't remember which one, but there is a whole article about this same thing, not so much the ice shelf, but the entire continental cap, and it has to do with the glacial streams that occur underneath these ice layers. Apparently, when melting occurs, or at least by their computer models, when melting occurs, this water accumulates underneath this ice and becomes a frictionless type of a coating, a super cold frictionless coating, which is what allows this whole cap to it in one motion just sort of boom into the into the ocean. So.
Well, this has sure been a cheery little call. At any rate, we'll have more information for you tomorrow night, and I very much appreciate what you've said.
Well, I really enjoy listening to your show. I do think that that the click in my own personal beliefs is that we're not going to see anything in a major catastrophe. I mean, there have been these sorts of things that have, but as far as taking out the whole of the human population at one time, I really think that God has different plans for us. We're intended to become an example for a whole universe of people that have, grown into spiritual truth. And
great, that's
I don't
just
think he
what
plans to cut us off.
Right. Well, I hope not, and I don't want to serve as an example. Remember when you were younger, parents? Remember getting punished? You wouldn't want to serve as an example, so God could turn to the rest of the cosmos and see. These things we call human beings, these two-legged things, they misbehaved. See what happened to them? You all watch the step now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you off the air about the thing in Wilmington sometime.
Well, I can't talk to you off the air. Why don't you just tell everybody?
Well, it's going to take about 15, 20 minutes.
Well, right.
About the
what do you know about
car in Wilmington?
I understand.
In Wilmington.
What do you? Are you now in Wilmington?
No, I
no,
used,
you used to live there. All right.
And I have a lot of friends and family in the military that know some things that have told me, hinted a few things. You know.
Well, all we know is there was a UFO sighting or several near Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
That I've got reports that a mid-50s car fell out of the sky in Wilmington. Literally fell out of the sky.
Yeah.
Is that what you know to be true?
I don't know so much that it's true or not. I do know that there are cranes down on the docks where the car supposedly fell out.
Yeah.
Also, I think I may have actually been on one of them ships. spaceship.
You think you might have been?
Well, it's like vague memory type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like there might be some kind of memory erasure or something.
Do you remember seeing a mid-50s car on one of the ships?
No.
No? Well, you said you have friends who have been hinting or telling you things.
Yeah.
I would rather concentrate on that. What mm-hmm. have they told you?
Well, like I say, it's too much to go into detail right now in the air. And
try me, sir.
Well, how much longer are you going to be on?
Well, look, quit asking me how much longer we're going to be on. Just start talking.
Okay, well, for one, if you notice, a lot of the sightings are in places where there's likely to be some kind of underground, subterranean type of military installation. And I think, personally, that the UFOs might actually be our own government concoction.
That's true. They might be.
And as far as the grays that you see on Dark Skies, the show, I really think that's just entertainment. I know that there are military installations underground. I've been in one that's now defunct there in San Pedro.
Now, you're sure about that, or you think you might have been?
I'm sure I'm being in there. It's a museum.
It's a museum?
Yeah, it's an old World War II. It's defunct. They've opened it up. I think something to do with MacArthur is in the name.
Okay. Help me out here. What does all this have to do with a mid-50s car falling out of the sky?
Well, it kind of relates to it. It could be that somebody picked up a car in the crane and swung it around. Or it could be that a car dropped out of the sky. I think all of this might just be publicity.
For what?
Well, to make us think that there's aliens and not kind of a diversion thing, you know? Make us think that there's aliens instead of actual Earth-originated spaceships.
I see. So maybe then the government loaded a mid-50s car on a high-altitude transport, dumped that sucker out, comes crashing down to make us think there are aliens, to divert our attention from something else, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I think I've got it. I appreciate the call, sir. Sounds like a lot of trouble to go to, doesn't it? All right, well, it's the hour. We'll take a break here, and we will be back, I think. I'm Art Bell, and this is CBC.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Me too. Good morning. Great to be here. I'm Art Bell. Back after a short but great vacation in New Mexico. I'm telling you guys right now, you watch. News from Mexico is going to be coming soon. There's troubles down there. And we're going to be feeling it. Trust me when I tell you that. Dear Art, I believe I can estimate roughly the effect on sea level of the melting of the ice shelf. I heard once that if all of the ice on Earth melted, sea level would be raised about 600 feet. If we estimate the amount of water trapped in this ice above the surface of sea due to the accumulation of precipitation on the shelf, this might be 1/1,000th to 1/5,000th of the total volume. In other words, the melting of this ice would raise sea level somewhere between 2 and 8 inches. In some coastal areas and on islands, this could have a significant effect. In other areas, the effect would be virtually unnoticeable. The addition of this volume of fresh water to the oceans probably would have very little effect overall. Remember, when it rains, large amounts of fresh water are deposited on the surface of the ocean. That certainly is true, but not in this kind of amount all at once. I'm not sure how the assimilation of that would be. Mike in San Jose. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
This is west of the Rockies?
Yes.
This is Robert from San Diego.
Well, you're definitely west of the Rockies, Robert.
Thank you very much. I'm calling from North Island Naval Station, San Diego.
Yes, sir.
Hey, last time I was on your show was about 3 years ago when I won a debate that Clinton was a great president. It's been a while. I have an interesting theory for you about UFOs and aliens. You know, Carl Sagan didn't really believe in the popular belief of aliens. You know, he believes in life in outer space, but believes that the odds of life in outer space evolving to look like they do in popular fiction is probably a million to one.
Well, you know, only if we could only ask Carl Sagan now, he would have those answers.
Well, I think I have an answer for him. I've been thinking, if when you look at the drawings of aliens and what people think they look like, they pretty much look like us. They have heads and...
Well, the eyes are a little different. The
but they're bipodal. You know,
yes.
So I'm thinking maybe that the aliens are not coming from outer space, that they're actually from Earth. They're somewhere on Earth, we can't find them, or they came from Earth and left Earth a long time ago. But in any event, they are from the product of the same evolution that we are from, and that's why they look as they do.
Well, that's as good a theory as anybody's.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care. That they have a loose relationship to us, or it may be that on planets with a reasonable gravity, that which wouldn't crush you and make you into a pancake, or that where you'd be so light you'd be taking 25-foot jumps into the air, but planets with similar amounts of gravity would tend to evolve creatures that would be, at least in some respects, similar to humans. I mean, that makes sense, I think. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, it's Greg from Denver.
Hi, Greg.
How are you?
Fine.
Got a theory about the ice bank.
All right.
Melting. Kind of ties in with what Major Dan was saying about the plant pathogen.
Yes.
And how we'll end up resorting to fish in the oceans.
Yes.
In the ice bank, suppose there's some ancient, possibly, virus or something in the ice that, as it melts, will be released into the ocean.
Great.
You know, just an idea, but that might be a possibility.
A long frozen virus that will suddenly be released into the ocean.
Right.
Probably killing all the plankton.
Possibly creating a disaster down the food chain and so forth.
Mm.
So if that ties in with our lack of food outside of the ocean, you know, that would... Anyway... And also about the, just wanted to mention that the movie Asteroid coming out.
Yes.
On TV.
This coming Sunday and Monday.
Right. And just wanted to mention that part of it was filmed here in Denver.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they had torn down a mall and actually they scattered out that site to use it as part of the shots for after the impact. So.
I'm looking forward to the movie. I just wonder, thank you for the call, with all of the news about asteroids, and I've got a lot of news sitting right here, and I've been kind of holding it because it is something we are going to discuss tomorrow night. I'm a little... Is it wrong to be suspicious? I mean, all of a sudden we're told that they have found a near-Earth asteroid that has the possibility, a very short return time, of hitting Earth. Now, we've got a movie, or we've had many movies, actually, about this kind of thing, and I am frankly and honestly a little suspicious. Should I be? Do I have reason to be? Are you? It's almost like fiction preceding reality, or a known reality being presented as fiction to accustom us to the idea. So when the sucker hits, we'll say, oh yeah, an asteroid. Now I know that sounds a little paranoid, and maybe it is, but I find it a little more than just simply coincidental. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you doing?
Okay.
Art, I want to talk about a subject that was probably 4 months old.
All right.
What it was I think a guy with a camper that was doing water injection and said he got, excuse me, like 45 miles per gallon out of the thing or something.
Yeah.
I know that's a long ways back. You were fascinated by the fact that he was burning about, I think, 8 gallons of water for 1 gallon of gas or something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was going to mention that I think, you know, I'm not a physics expert, but a vehicle can actually generate as much as 15 gallons of water for every gallon of gas it burns.
Well, I think that might be right. I mean, you can look at a tailpipe and you'll see water dripping out of it.
Yeah, it runs out.
Right.
Well, you know, the point I wanted to make on that was that, you know, it's not a not an exceptional thing. I, you know, didn't want to say that, or I wanted to say that, you know, no big deal. If you're using
Well, I'll tell you even a bigger no big deal. Okay. I've got a Geo Metro out here. I get almost 60 miles to the gallon, and I don't even put water in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't need to.
How about that?
I think the reason for water injection, and it's a good one, if you look into the aircraft industry in the past anyway, and probably even currently, is that water injection, what it tends to do is knock out the carbon in a motor.
Right.
And so if you've got highly leaded gases, which are typically aircraft, you know, and if you look at aircraft, it's not untypical to see water injection.
With the use of kerosene and jet aircraft, you mean?
No, I'm talking about your
piston engine conventional aircraft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that, I think typically what happens is that when you get the highly leaded gases, if you throw a little water in there, it helps to keep the carbon free.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've heard that, and more completely burns the fuel and a lot of other things. I'm familiar with that. I've got a question I want to ask some of you who know about aircraft. The use of kerosene, of course, in jet aircraft, and the reason I mention that is sitting in a 737 the other day, I was nearly overwhelmed with the smell of kerosene, which, of course, is what the jet was using. But it was very, very strong, and a great deal of kerosene is burned, and I'm not sure how completely the kerosene is burned. An awful lot of it must be residual in the atmosphere as a jet makes passage. And I would like to ask if, A, that really is true, and, B, what effects ecologically that would have? Is that a hard question? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. There's a movie that I would suggest you watch. I recorded it last night. I don't know if it's in the store or anything, but it's called Whoops Apocalypse.
Really?
And it's a comedy, and I'm sort of screening it now again for the fourth time in two nights, but it is so funny. It is so funny. It's a sort of a spoof on the Falklands War in the 80s.
Yes, I recall.
And it's just total comedy, and it has some good stars in it.
Who's running it?
Who's running it?
Yeah.
Who's in the show, you mean?
No, you said you taped it.
Oh, I'm sort of watching it now. I just turned it down. But
No. You taped it off of what?
Oh, off of television. It was off the Comedy Channel last night.
That's what I wanted to know.
But don't let anyone tell you the end, because it's very surprising, and it stars Loretta Swit as president, but every inch of it is totally funny, I tell you. And just get a check of it. And then something else, let's see, I talked with someone who is over from China recently, last night, and I asked them about the pyramids that are supposed to be over there. And he did not know anything about it, but surprisingly, without him even knowing of my interest in your show or UFOs, he said, but there are UFOs. And so I'm going to talk to him again maybe later on and try to ask more questions very carefully.
Mm-hmm. All right, I would appreciate that. There's also a lot of news coming from China, and it's not good. The communist Chinese have already squarely indicated that the people in Hong Kong can kiss off their civil rights. And there's going to be a big crackdown. Hong Kong is going to be taken over in July. And I'm going to have a guest on. As a matter of fact, I'm looking for a good guest on the takeover of Hong Kong. What a sad, sad thing this is going to be. Yes, the communists will maintain some sort of economic open door to the West through Hong Kong, I'm sure. But for the many residents of Hong Kong, life is about to change drastically and sadly. And I think that I would not go back to Hong Kong. It was a very, very happy place when I was there a couple of years ago. And Communist China was a very, very unhappy place. And the only real difference, other than a substantial economic difference, would be the government that was running these places. And when the government in Hong Kong is the same as that in Communist China, there are going to be a lot of very unhappy people. It's just not going to be the same place. So I'm going to have a guest about that. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi. Missed you. West of the Rockies, on the air. Good morning.
Hey, this is the Italian Stallion.
Yes.
How's your vacation? Good?
Yeah, great.
Hey, I have two things I'm really concerned with. First of all the military craft that have been brushing against our passenger airliners,
yes.
And I feel that's real strange, and I think it's been going on for a lot of years. And not only that, I think our passenger airlines having the radar detection on them, I don't think the military aircraft would, you know, that the military would ever admit it, you know, unless we had those kind of instruments on the plane. And I just kind of wondering, why is that happening all the time? And the 800 flight, I think really, I really believe that it was shot down, and our government is denying the whole thing. I really, in my heart, believe that it was shot down.
And where do you think the proof of that is?
There's proof of it, but they're not going to let it out. If they ever let something like that out,
well,
you could see what would happen to.
Yeah, but I mean, what are you basing it on?
Just because of the news lately about how these fighter aircraft are coming out of nowhere and brushing against, you know.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with the shoot down of a civilian plane?
Well, I believe there's a lot of gung-ho fighter pilots out there that just coming up, you know, against some of these passenger airlines. I really think that, you know, that's shouldn't happen at all.
So you think some gung-ho fighter pilot shot it down? Shot it?
I really believe that, and our government would never admit it.
For the fun of it?
And then not for the fun of it, but I don't. You know, I'm not sure what's going on, but why is this happening now? And why is it? They're looking into like Texas and what New York it was, somewhere off to Florida or somewhere. It was they.
All right. I know. All right. Well, the last I heard with regard to Flight 800 is, once again, they're holding all three options open. Mechanical problems, a missile, blah, blah, blah. All options are being held open, according to the FBI. The story keeps changing. Well, we're going to break here. We'll be right back. You're listening to the CBC Radio Network. I'm Art Bell.
RN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
West of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
That's what it is, all right? Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. I'm Art Bell. Now, listen, I'm just going to read this to you because this is the home of the strange, and I would like to run it by you. It comes from Mark, who faxes from La Selva Beach, La Selva Beach, California. Dear Art, recently I went to the doctor complaining of muscle twitching in my eyelids. I experienced this briefly a few months ago and again over the last 2 weeks. I thought it was just stress the first time, but this time there wasn't anything causing stress in my life, so I thought I'd have a doctor check it out. The nurse took me into one of the examination rooms and asked what brought me in that morning, so I told her about the twitching. She just smiled and said, "We've been getting a lot of that lately." She assured me it was probably nothing. A good friend of hers, in fact, had been experiencing the same thing. What gives, Art? Could you please ask some of your listeners if any of them are experiencing similar symptoms? Thanks, Mark from La Selva Beach, California. What about it, folks? Anybody else out there have an unaccounted for twitch? All right, back to the lines and east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. Doran from Washington.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You're not very strong, so you're going to have to get
okay,
into that phone.
Okay, let me speak into the phone
a bit. Oh, that's good.
Okay. I heard you're afraid of the OBE experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So, one thing, after listening to your show, I was greatly relieved because every once in a while, a voice would say, "You know, Doran," and clear as a bell, first thing in the morning.
Call your name?
Call my name. Mm-hmm. It is startling, extremely startling. But what's even more strange is many mornings, I will look at the clock
before
I wake up. And this actually happened. I took a nap tonight and looked at the clock. It was 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Then my sister called me. I woke up and looked at the clock. It was 9 p.m.
So,
it happens very frequently.
Well, I don't know how that exactly relates to OBEs, thank you. I do know this. I have the ability to wake up, and I think a lot of people can do this. I can program myself to wake up exactly when I want to the minute. If I decide before I go to sleep I want to be up at a certain time, I wake up. I look at the clock, and it's like an internal alarm clock went off. Now, I've only been able to do that as an adult. When I was a child, you couldn't get me out of bed with a stick of dynamite. I mean, I could sleep through people pounding on me. And I was always late to this or that because I would oversleep, and I for the life of me, alarm clocks, they meant nothing. I would either turn them off and not remember that I did it. But now as an adult, the exact opposite. I can wake up like that on a dime. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, was it true? Someone told me you had a show about reptilian aliens, women.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, this is really strange because I was telling a friend of mine about my girlfriend who recently left me, and she gave me this story that this was the reason why she left me, that she had a reptilian something boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah. And I was telling
when she said that to you, how did you take it?
I was flabbergasted.
I mean, being left for a lizard is a real bummer.
Yeah.
Essentially a lizard.
I mean, if this is happening quite a bit, we're all in danger, I suppose.
I know it's an old twist.
Uh-huh.
But frankly, any woman who would leave you for a lizard,
yeah,
you don't want her anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But it was a strange story, you know. It was
detailed.
You know?
She actually came to you and...
Well, she gave this as the reason why she left me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess I couldn't compare her to a lizard, you know.
Well, I realize it would be hard to take.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. We had a girl named Pam on,
uh-huh.
And she claimed to have a lizard lover.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
which she claimed was superior to any human lover she had ever had.
That's similar to what I was told.
Really?
Yeah. Now, do you think all this stuff is true? Or?
Well, I don't know, but it seems exceptionally cruel, whether it's true or not, for your girlfriend, ex now, to have told you this. I mean, she could have made up something better, like a human guy. I mean, then gone off to her lizard, and you wouldn't have been shocked.
Well, she says they're better than humans.
And, yeah, I know. I know. I keep hearing it, too. It's a whale of a tale. Lizard tale.
Maybe you should ask other people if this has happened to them.
All right.
Okay.
We'll do that, sir. Thank you very much for the call. And as I said, the only comfort that I can possibly give you is that any woman who would leave somebody like yourself for a lizard, well, you're better off without her. That's just sort of a new twist on an old tale. No pun intended. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, good evening, Art.
And to you.
I wanted to make a comment about the caller who just mentioned hearing his name in the morning.
Oh, yes.
I've read that in a book, that is a common symptom of people having a... is a precursor to an OBE.
Really?
Yes, in addition to, like, hearing chimes or wind or roar, hearing, like, an eerie calling of your name. And also on that subject, I just thought you'd be interested. I never had any OBEs until listening to your show.
Yes.
Within 2 days of starting to listen to your show, you had on Al Taylor.
Correct.
And I started having OBEs. I had about 3 of them in 1 week.
Well, I'm sure that being conscious of the fact that it can occur subconsciously has probably allowed you to begin to have them. So,
right. And let me make one more comment, because this is I've been trying to have them for months.
So then do you thank us or curse us?
Oh, I thank you. It's a real exciting experience. I've been trying to have them more frequently. But the funny thing is I went for months without having any of them. And then just last week you had a replay of Al Taylor on.
And here we went again, huh?
Listen to this. I was just about to have one. Your show was still on. I fell asleep. No insult there. And I was conscious. And listening to your show as I was in the pre-stage, where you get into the vibratory stage.
Oh, that I know about, yes.
And you just happened to be on the subject of the entity. And the fear scared me away from floating out.
Well, I guess since you like them, that's bad.
That's true. You have to really get past the fear, though. That's really the obstacle, like people were saying. Once you're there, it's all your imagination and the power of your mind. It's very true.
All right, my friend. Thank you, and good travels to you. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hi. Let's see. I live here in Pahrump.
I beg your pardon?
I live here in Pahrump.
You live in Pahrump.
Right. I have a friend that saw the same craft you saw about the same time.
Oh?
Yeah. And also my wife and I, we were driving across this valley, and we saw, I've been out here several years, and we saw a... Two lights that were green, and they traveled across the valley real fast.
Well, believe me, sir, you're not alone. We have, as you well know, this is an area where all kinds of things are going on. From there or here, I don't know. But in the Pahrump Valley, many, many things are seen. And everybody in the valley who's been here for any period of time has seen them. A lot of people don't talk about them at all. I don't blame them. But this is an area of, let's see, how... West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello. Hi, my name is Kirid from L.A.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a pen in front of you? I want to write down a number so you can see it in front of you.
All right.
Okay, it's 6... comma, 002, comma, 020, comma, 206.
Okay.
That's the approximate population of the world in April.
Okay.
You know, when we started the year, when we started last year, we were at 5.5 billion.
Yes.
You're familiar with the Bible, the mark of the beast. I'm sure you've heard about that a bunch of times. It says, for he who has knowledge, let him know that the number is 666.
Yes, and we have a six, and then two, and then three twos, which is a six, and then another six at the end.
It says 666,
yeah.
For he who has knowledge, which means it's not exactly the way it's written. There's something that you have to figure out there. If you write out that number as, I'm sorry, it's 600, 3 score, and 6. If you write out that number, 600, 3 score, which is 320s,
right,
and then 6,
right,
you have the population in April.
Cool.
Just thought it might be a little interesting for you.
Sometime in April. They don't know, of course, exactly when.
April, May, or June, actually.
April, May, or June. In the spring sometime.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, that probably is when the guff is going to run out of new souls. And then, of course, all the tribulation will begin. Frogs will rain from the sky, many-legged frogs, followed by the end of everything.
Well, maybe not.
End of time.
Just a fun idea to play with.
Either that or it's just a number.
Right.
All right?
Take care.
Thank you very much. I love my numerologist out there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, Art, this is Rose.
I beg your pardon?
My name is Rose. I'm in El Paso.
Rose in El Paso.
Right. I sent you a postcard about my cat, Barty, who saved me from a bird. Anyhow, I was wondering what the station is in San Juan. Where do we go?
Well, the station is not yet. But
not yet. Okay,
I'll give you a hint. It's going to be at 10,000 water in San Juan.
Okay, well, I see I have friends there. And I want to let them know because...
Tell them we're coming.
Okay.
All right.
Soon?
Soon.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, bye. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, yes, this is Horace. I'm glad to have you back from vacation, Art.
Well, thank you, Horace. Glad to be back.
Yes.
Horace?
Yes.
Turn your radio off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Quite all right.
Yes, are you in the mood for someone tells something that's happened in their company, whistleblower?
You mean you're a whistleblower?
Well, I'm excited to be tonight, Art.
All right, Horace, blow your whistle.
Well, first of all, you know, my sister worked for William Paley back in the mid-60s.
Really?
She did.
Cool.
For CBS for quite a few years there.
Right.
And I work, believe it or not, for ABC back east. I'm in Seattle right now.
You're a traitor, Horace.
And some of the shop talk around there is quite interesting that, you know, I heard on your program not too long ago where you're saying that the national news has not really reported the Title 50?
Yes.
Well, guess what, Art? They
what?
Know about it.
They do?
They do, and what the deal is here, Art, is that you know that all three of the network anchors know about this, but they are not allowed to broadcast it because the chairpersons of the corporation that owns the broadcast company will not let them keep it on a pretty short leash there.
How about Fox?
Fox
will do anything.
I don't know about Fox. I do know that...
How about CNN?
Will Blitzer, in the mail here, is Will Blitzer knows about it, and he's trying to find out some way to let it out. They won't... They keep...
Well, I have no problem talking about it. I talk about it all the time. Of course, they might kill me, but they haven't yet.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that they've got... There's three... what they call the three runaway cannons in this whole area here. Is Ted Koppel, and, you know, let's see, I'm a little nervous here, I never called him before, You know, the, what's the gentleman that has the David Brinkley program now?
Well, nobody really has it now. I mean, it's Cokie Roberts and a company. As a matter of fact, they're talking about having somebody take over Brinkley. I'm trying to recall who it was.
For some reason, my mind just...
Are you talking about Sam Donaldson?
Sam Donaldson, yes.
Okay.
And Sam Donaldson and Walter Cronkite have got wind of this, but they don't know exactly what it is. Now, I called Cornell University, and they told me the name of the person that sponsored this bill, and you'll never guess. Our friend Bill.
Bill
Clinton.
Well, I don't know how he could have done that, because it was originally instituted, this U.S. Code, back in the 50s, and Bill Clinton was just a political gleam in somebody's eye. So how could he have done that?
No, according to what they've been talking about, it was passed 2 years ago.
No.
2 years ago?
No, that's wrong.
Then we've been getting some bad information in here from Cornell, because that's what they apprised us of.
No, it was either in the 50s or the 60s. Somebody will tell us, but I assure you it was not a Bill Clinton baby. So you can blame that one on somebody, but I don't think Bill Clinton. Anyway, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, my name is Christian. I'm calling from Minnesota.
Yes, sir.
I had a couple questions for you. I work at night, and so I listen to your show. I'm just a recent listener, so my questions are from tonight. One of them was, you were talking about the Larsen ice.
Yeah, it's going to be a subject of more depth tomorrow night. But
right.
Yes.
Uh-huh. One of your callers said that if they were to melt, it could raise the ocean level 200 feet. What would that do to the structure of the United States?
Well, I doubt that it would bother the people in El Paso. But, you know, if you're in Manhattan or L.A. or San Diego or Seattle, you probably have a pretty big problem.
Okay. The other question I have was, you were talking about some creature or something that started with a C?
Chupacabra.
That's it. What is that?
It's something you never want to meet on a dark night. It is a creature with large red eyes, the ability to move at about 60 miles an hour, three large claws in front, and it drains animals of all their blood. How's that sound?
Great. All right, thank you very much.
Whatever pleases you, sir. He likes that, huh? Glowing red eyes, sir. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Okay, let me get a radio.
Okay.
I have a comment about the ice shelf melting.
Yes.
I would be more concerned with the weight dispersion. 4,400 square miles of ice has got to weigh something. And if that much weight is taken off of one particular point on the globe, then it would...
start us to wobbling, maybe, huh?
Well, yeah, that would be my fear. I mean, I'm not exactly a physicist or anything. But,
are you a rocket scientist?
No.
No.
I split a few particles on the subatomic level.
I see. Well, heaven knows it would be horrible if we began to wobble.
Yeah, the weight factor would concern me, I think.
Well,
okay, well,
it seems to me, yes, we'll talk more about it tomorrow night. I honestly don't know what the implications are. And it's the one thing they're not talking about. Isn't that interesting? I've got a number of stories here on this ice shelf cracking and melting. But I have no stories. I mean, I've got stories absolutely definitively saying it is occurring. But no stories telling us what it will do. Maybe they don't know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Art. This is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you a question about the quickening.
All right.
It's not an easy one. I just want to know, what would you do if you had the power to either stop it or keep it from happening, even if you knew that it was something that was like meant to be, would you do it?
No, I don't think so. To directly answer your question, I don't think so. I think that whatever is occurring is supposed to occur. That doesn't mean that it's going to be a positive outcome for everybody concerned, but I think we're headed toward a change that must occur. And, you know, it's the old line about not messing around with Mother Nature.
Yes, yes, I understand. That's a hard thing that someone would have to deal with, right? You have a good day, and God bless you in your house, okay?
Thank you, my friend. Take care. That's a good, as direct an answer as I can give. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with almost no time. Where are you?
In San Diego, Norman, San Diego. I think the melting of the ice will cause a polar shift because of the weight between the land and the water so carefully balanced right now.
Well, we'll look at, we're going to be looking into this more and more. Listen, say what must be said.
Oh, good night, America.
See, there's somebody who knows how to do it from San Diego. From the high desert, new home of the Chupacabra, good night, Cosmos.